Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. Is there anybody in the country happier than Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey that the Big Ten's new commissioner is Kevin Warren today? That's a rhetorical question. We welcome you in on a Tuesday, June 4th. It is the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Also heard on our FM frequencies, 106.3 in Iowa City. That would be the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Online at kgymradio.com and also available through the KGYM app for your smartphone. We got a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. Also, tickets to see Gabriel Iglesias, a.k.a. Fluffy, coming to the Iowa State Fair August 14th. Keep listening for your chance to win both of those great prizes. Couple great guests on tap today as well. We'll get the lowdown on the Big Ten's new commish, or commish in waiting, Kevin Warren, from Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com. Adam's going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes. And Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com is set to stop by for his bi-weekly baseball chat on Tuesdays. Big win last night for the St. Louis Blues. We'll get to that here in the first hour, as well as the Kevin Durant news, now out for Game 3 of the NBA Finals. But first, we talked a little bit about this last night, Alex, on the program. We did not know the name. There was speculation that this was going to be Jim Phillips of Northwestern, the current athletic director at Northwestern. As a matter of fact, Teddy Greenstein of the Chicago Tribune, who is about as well-sourced as any Big Ten reporter, especially a Chicago-based Big Ten reporter where the Big Ten offices are, said his source would be shocked. They kept this under wraps, they being the Big Ten and Jim Delaney. Surprise, Kevin Warren, currently the chief operating officer of the Minnesota Vikings, becomes only the sixth commissioner in Big Ten history.
And the first African-American commissioner at the Power Five level. And we'll get into everything that he had to say from Chicago today. What is the township? Is it Park Ridge?
I believe the Park Ridge is where the office is located. All I know is that the new digs are amazing, and there's a Brazilian steakhouse attached to it. So that was enough.
I'm a big fan of Brazilian steakhouses.
That was enough to get me to send in my resume, but I didn't even get a rejection email back from Scott Chipman and the folks at the Big Ten. How could you not like a Brazilian steakhouse?
There are a lot of people that I think are scared of meat.
You shouldn't be scared of meat. And there's more than just meat at a Brazilian steakhouse, as anybody who has
I can see vegetarians not liking
a You get Brazilian the salad steakhouse. Bar. The key is they want you to fill up on the salad
That's
bar
true.
Before they start coming around with the meats.
So they put enticing, like, mid-price food out on the salad bar,
right.
So you just load up on that, and then the meat comes out, and they
Don't
give you
it.
Little slivers at a time.
Over here. Yep, keep the Sometimes
that
it's
wooden
a stone.
Coin is not going to get turned over.
Sometimes it's a stone. Sometimes it's a little wooden chip. Sometimes it's usually green and red. I don't like to throw up the stop sign. I am Wendell Kim when it comes to Brazilian steakhouses. Cubs fans will get that reference, and probably a couple other teams as well. Kevin Warren will be the sixth commissioner of the Big Ten. He'll take over for Jim Delaney when Big Jim's tenure expires next year. I think sometimes, especially in these parts, we get spoiled by stability. And in particular, I think from an Iowa standpoint, from a University of Iowa standpoint, in my lifetime, Iowa has had three athletic directors, two football coaches, and three conference commissioners. Wayne Duke from 1971 to 1988, my lifetime, 1980 to the present. So Wayne Duke, Jim Delaney, and now Kevin Warren. And you want to talk about walking into a situation where you're pretty much set up to succeed at this point. One of the questions that was thrown his way today at the introductory news conference was about expansion of the college football playoffs, which is a major issue facing not only the Power Five, but the I'm sure the Group of Five wants to weigh in on this as well. And I love the answer was not quite ready to tackle that just quite yet. 319-366-1600. By the way, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, if you want to use it to reach out to us here on the Southwest side, or pick up the phone and give us a call at the same number, 366-1600.
I thought that he had sort of the same exact answer on the compensation of players, or at least where that's heading, because those are the two topics that are going to be sort of thrown in his face first, right?
I would think that the Big Ten commissioner is going to have to deal with those sometime within the next 2 years. And remember, Delaney's still around for another 12 months. He's still on the job until June 30th of next year. And then this is Kevin Warren's problem. And he's going to take over a conference that has record revenues. It was just reported recently that the Big Ten is generating more revenue than the SEC, so they can at least beat the SEC somewhere, whether it's in the pocketbook or on the field. I think the Big Ten would prefer on the field, but pocketbook is nice as well. Expansion, the Big Ten network is going gangbusters. You're pumping $50 million a year into all of your members' pockets so that they can build new facilities and all of that.
That's always going to be his crowning achievement, right?
Well, that's our poll question today, KGYMradio.com. How will you best remember Jim Delaney? And no, he's not dead. He's stepping down, and we've known this for a while now. But what we didn't know was who's going to be taking over. And again, Jim Phillips at Northwestern was viewed largely as the leader in the clubhouse. This is out of left field, but I admittedly don't know much about Kevin Warren. Everything that I've read today, the Minnesota Vikings put out a great statement with regard to how much he's meant to that organization. He's been with them since, I believe, 2006, 2009, something like that, at least the better part of the last decade. I know this is probably doubtful. Do you recall his time in St. Louis?
I do not.
Working with the Rams. So the bio here on Kevin Warren is, and of the footnote here, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the program today, because if anybody is excited about this, it's probably Fran McCaffrey, because he may or may not have a get out of jail free card now in the Chicago suburbs, because he and Kevin Warren were teammates at Penn. They both played college basketball. They were on the 1981-82 Penn squad, which was a pretty good team. They finished as champions of the Ivy League. And
was Fran known as White Magic at that time?
Fran was known as White Magic and had a pretty good, I believe that was his senior season.
Do we know how he feels about that nickname? I know this is a side note, but I love that nickname.
Yeah, I think he was a big fan of it. And I'll do Fran a favor and not read the numbers on the. Neither he nor Kevin Warren were stars on that Quakers team, but they did play alongside one another. And again, there's a little bit of familiarity here now with the new Big Ten commissioner. So the next time that somebody chases an official down the hall and F-bombs them or slams a chair to the floor of the Breslin Center, he's got an ally in Park Ridge. 319-366-1600. Again, the text line, congratulations, Iowa City Regina, a 1A boys state title in soccer. The Division III World Series may or may not be coming to a conclusion right now at Veterans Memorial Stadium. They're playing game two of that best of three series. Today was a doubleheader. Tomorrow is game three, if necessary. Chapman taking game one, 6-4 over Birmingham Southern. You may recall Birmingham Southern was the team that ended Coe College's season in the Super Regionals. No score as of a last check at Veterans Memorial Stadium. So Birmingham Southern wins game two. They will play tomorrow at 11 o'clock. public service announcement here. Spend your lunch hour at the ballpark tomorrow. Buy a ticket, go in, grab a burger, have something to drink. If they wind up needing to play that game, I try to leave a positive impression for Cedar Rapids with the committee. This event is going to be here for the next three seasons. It was a four-year bid, and everybody, I know I mentioned this yesterday on the program, everybody involved deserves, in my opinion, huge kudos for the job that they've done in putting on that event and putting up with the folks at D3Baseball.com. The baseball draft, the Major League Baseball draft, continues today. I think they're probably in about the 10th round or something now as they finish up the second day, and then tomorrow will be rounds 11 through 40. I was wrong. I will readily admit, and I don't think I said this on the air last night, but I know I talked about it here around the office. I did not think that TJ Sikkema, who hails from my hometown, was going to be hearing his name called on day one of the draft, but the New York Yankees took the Missouri left-hander, University of Missouri left-hander, with the 38th pick. It's not a first-round pick, so the state of Iowa still has not, well, that's beside the point here, because I get into the minutia and then somebody's going to call me out on the verbiage there, but the 38th pick, a compensatory pick that the Yankees acquired via a trade with the Reds in the Sonny Gray deal. You can't trade picks in Major League Baseball, but you can trade compensation and competitive balance picks. It's complicated. I'm not going to waste any time explaining it, but I am wearing my Central Sabres shirt today and a proud alum of that baseball program. They've never had anybody drafted before.
I saw the video of the baseball team seeing
his dad's the head coach.
Sikkema.
His dad is the head coach
and his father,
there.
And it was just that was an excellent moment. Hearing his name called on day one of the draft.
I would have liked if the Chicago Cubs were going to take a college pitcher with the 27th pick, they could have done worse than taking TJ Sikkema. As it is, the Cubs turned some heads last night by taking Ryan Jensen out of Fresno State, who was ranked as the 109th best prospect coming into the draft by Baseball America. We had J.J. Cooper on with us a couple days ago leading into the draft. Interesting there because a couple of the college bats, that the polished college bats that the Cubs were figured to be seeking, got drafted before the Cubs were on the board, and then they decided, hey, this guy throws in the upper 90s and he maintains his velocity late into games. Who cares if he's only 6 feet tall and like 160 pounds? I'm not going to bore anybody with the minutiae of the Major League Baseball draft. I barely care about the baseball draft, but a kid from my hometown was picked with the 38th overall selection. I'm going to be pretty damn proud of that. So we'll see. We'll follow his career with the Yankees, and I'm almost certain he will sign. There's a value on that selection at just under $2 million, which will buy you a lot of things in DeWitt, Iowa. Trust me, I grew up there. Lots more ground to cover on the program. Speaking of baseball, the Twins are in Cleveland tonight, taking on the Indians. The Cubs, fresh off that victory over the Angels in that makeup game at Wrigley Field yesterday, are remaining at home. They take on the Colorado Rockies tonight. And speaking of the Yankees, TJ Sikkema is not the left-handed pitcher most Yankees fans are talking about today. Reports are that the Yankees are the favorite to sign Dallas Keuchel. Need a little boost for that rotation. Nothing official yet, but they are said to be the leader in the clubhouse, and it sounds like perhaps one of Craig Kimbrell's former teams, the Atlanta Braves, could be the leader for his services.
I think that'd be a perfect fit for the Yankees, a guy that just eats some innings and gets them to their bullpen and throws strikes and gets people out the way that he does. I think a lot of people are sort of have soured on him because he's over 30 and his numbers are trending downward. But if he can be a steady...
Sounds like you're describing me.
A steady third or fourth starter. That's what the Yankees need right now. And why is not like half the league in on Craig Kimbrell? I don't understand that. Anybody could use Craig Kimbrell. he would fit in anywhere, especially for any team that is contending and has a struggling bullpen, which we know that in 2019 is pretty much everybody other than the Yankees.
I'm done trying to explain what's going on in Major League Baseball and how owners and general managers and presidents of baseball operations are approaching signing free agents. And it really is ridiculous at this point, because if you would have stepped to the plate with some dollars and not been concerned about losing a draft pick, you could have had these guys pitching for you for the last 2 months of the season. Now that you're looking for your white knight who comes riding in and may not be ready until middle or late June, perhaps even closer to the All-Star break, as we mentioned yesterday, it was a catch-22. There were excuses for not signing him before midnight on Sunday, and now the excuses are that it's late in the game and these guys are going to take a while to get ready, and the dollars and cents are still a major issue. It's pretty ridiculous when you ask me. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com set to join us coming up in just a little bit. Again, we'll get to a recap of last night's events. You have to be relatively pleased after the Blues even the series last night. We're, of course, talking right now about the Stanley Cup Finals. The Blues and Bruins knotted at two games apiece.
It was another bounce-back performance, something that we discussed pretty much the entire time we were talking about the Stanley Cup Final last night. The Blues have had some terrible games in the playoffs, and they've bounced back every single time. And it was another one of those nail-biting games where they go into the third period having dominated the first two periods, but they're tied. And you're just wondering, how many times can they pull these types of games out without a bounce going against them and them losing one of these games where it's tight despite the fact that they controlled the game from the outset? But Zdeno Chara goes down with a broken jaw. As we've heard recently, there are rumblings that he may miss the rest of the playoffs, which would be a huge and very unfortunate turn of events in the Stanley Cup Final. And when the Bruins only had five defensemen, that's when the Blues completely took over in the third period. Ryan O'Reilly was outstanding, and they knotted the game up at two with a chance to go to Boston to regain that lead.
I'm done trying to figure out what's going on in that series. It certainly looks like it's heading to a seven-game completion. The NBA Finals a little bit more intriguing at this point, because the announcement today, Kevin Durant now is officially going to miss Game 3. Who knows when Kevin Durant is going to make his return? I don't want to say triumphant return, if at all, to the floor for the Warriors.
I don't know. It's such a strange injury, because when it happened, most people were just assuming the worst, that he had torn his Achilles and it could be some kind of career changing injury for Kevin Durant. The way that he reacted to it, the old turn your head like somebody kicked you in the back of the leg, the classic torn Achilles injury reaction. Then the Golden State Warriors come out and say, no, it's a calf strain. He'll be out an indefinite amount of time, but it shouldn't be too bad. And then now they have recently stepped back on that and said, it's worse than we initially thought. I just assume that he's not going to play in the series. I really do assume that. I think that the Warriors, we'll get to this, but the Warriors are in a great spot. They're going home. They're better than the Toronto Raptors as is, as long as Klay Thompson is 100% healthy. I'm not sure we see Kevin Durant in this series. That's just sort of the vibe, and like the fact that they keep kicking this can down the road further and further tells me that they're not giving us much information and they don't feel very good about it.
It sounds strange to ask this, but do they even need him? Is it do or die for them without Kevin Durant? I don't think that may be the case after watching Game 2.
I would say no, but once again, Klay Thompson.
How's that for a hot take?
How healthy is he? How healthy is Steph Curry? We know Andre Iguodala is not very healthy, and he's doing what he can, But how much of a contributor can he be with one leg and was he 30, 34, 35 years old? He's getting up there. So at some point, the depth completely goes away if Klay Thompson isn't healthy, Steph Curry's not healthy, Kevin Durant's not healthy, Boogie Cousins isn't healthy. Somebody has to play. So I think that at this, if they can get Kevin Durant at 60%, 65%, they're going to put him back out there because they need bodies. And a 65% Kevin Durant is better than a lot of players on the Toronto Raptors.
We will have both the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals to their completions here on KGYM. We mentioned the poll question available at KGYMradio.com today, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You can find them on First Avenue Southeast, located behind the Taco John's. What will you most remember Jim Delaney for during his tenure as commissioner of the Big Ten? Options are, well, they're pretty obvious at this point, but they're all major contributions to the league. The creation of the Big Ten Network, expansion, which began with Penn State and then brought Nebraska, Maryland, and Rutgers into the fold as well, making the Big Ten Conference a cash cow, which sort of ties in with the Big Ten Network, or all of the above. Those are your choices. We'll ask that same question of our next guest, Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com, who cut his teeth for many years covering the league before getting a promotion to ESPN.com's national college writer, set to join us in just a few minutes here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Don't go anywhere. Kyle's going to have a big board update for you after this.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
The Cubs held the 27th selection in the first round of Monday's Major League Baseball draft and raised some eyebrows when the team's pick was announced. After years of taking polished college bats like Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber, and Ian Happ, Theo Epstein and company opted to draft a college pitcher with their first selection. It was who the Cubs took that created the stir. Fresno State right-hander Ryan Jensen was ranked 109th by Baseball America and 99th by MLB.com before the draft. Jensen throws in the upper 90s and maintains his velocity well into his starts. Many observers view him as a likely reliever once he reaches the majors, but it sounds like the Cubs are enticed by Jensen as a starter. The move underscored reports prior to the draft that the front office was committed to drifting from its safe, low-risk approach to the draft. Time will tell if that was a good call or not.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
The Grillworks in Marion is a grill master's dream. We're stocked with over 200 sauces and rubs, grills, smokers, and accessories. Everything you need. Even free classes to up your grilling game. I'm Lisa with the Grillworks. Need some barbecue advice? This is our true passion. Tune into the gym each Wednesday at 5 for our grilling tip of the week. And let the Grillworks make you the grill master you deserve to be. The Grillworks, your grilling and smoking headquarters. Visit us on 8th Avenue in Marion and on Facebook.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
After an off day, the Twins' road trip continues tonight. Game one of a three-game series with the Indians. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Devin Smeltzer with the Twins, Shane Bieber for the Tribe, and on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM, also 106.3 and 107.5 FM, streaming online through the KGYM app as well as KGYMradio.com. The Minnesota Twins, speaking of our friends to the north, had the 13th pick in the draft last night. They took a high school third baseman out of Chula Vista, California, named Keone Cavaco. I'm probably mispronouncing that. I'm happy that they passed on a player that they had been tied to, and that is UNLV shortstop Bryson Stott. We actually saw UNLV at Duane Banks Field last season when they came to town. The only reason I didn't want the Twins to draft Bryson Stott is that had he made his way to Cedar Rapids and played for the Colonels, every time I hear his name, all I can think about is the episode of The Office with Scott's Tots. And so Bryson Stott, Scott's Tots.
Worst episode in the whole series.
What?
I literally skipped that
episode. Scorching hot takery.
And it's not even funny. He devastates those kids.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God.
It's hilarious in his level of ineptitude.
I've seen the series a million times through. I've only seen that episode like twice. I'm not kidding. I skip it.
I don't know how you recover from that hot take, but I'm going to take about a minute or so to just chill out over here, getting ready for Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com. That voice that you just heard, our producer Kyle Mann, set to bring you a big board update presented by Alexander Lumber. For right now, you can still find them at their temporary location in Iowa City, 2802 Independence Drive, a permanent location opening later this summer. We'll have details on that for you when it's ready. Also, the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street. Here's Kyle.
It is a monumental day for the Big Ten as the conference officially named Kevin Warren to be the sixth commissioner of the Big Ten Conference. He'll officially begin in mid-September and will work alongside Jim Delaney until he officially steps down next January. Warren will leave his post as COO of the Minnesota Vikings to become the first African-American commissioner of a Power 5 conference. When Delaney steps down, it'll conclude a 30-year tenure, the longest in the conference's history. There's long been a connection between the Iowa football staff and the New England Patriots, so it's not necessarily a surprise that a tweet from ESPN's Mike Reese revealed that Kirk Ferentz was in attendance at the Patriots practice today, accompanied by a picture. I was able to see that Seth Wallace, Kelton Copeland, and Jay Neiman are along for the ride, as well as at least two other Iowa staffers. No Hawkeyes were selected in the MLB draft last night, or have been yet, but Mizzou Tiger and Central DeWitt product TJ Sycamore was selected by the Yankees 38th overall. The Colonels are going to begin a stretch of 8 games in 7 days this evening in Clinton. They've got 3 with the Lumber Kings, followed by 5 with Peoria, including a doubleheader on Sunday before returning to Cedar Rapids next Tuesday. Tonight after the show, we're going to join the Twins asserting their dominance over the Indians. The Twins enter tonight with an 11.5 game lead on Cleveland, and we'll bring you that game from Cleveland on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And again, the Division III World Series underway at Veterans Memorial Stadium here in Cedar Rapids. It's a best of three series between Chapman and Birmingham Southern. Chapman had a commanding lead through game one and held on for a 6-4 win. And right now they are in the bottom of the seventh inning, and Chapman has a 1-0 lead. So a win tonight by Chapman will make them Division III champions. And again, was over there on Saturday taking in some of the games. Very, very good baseball. This is an event that I hope can grow and be embraced by the folks in Cedar Rapids, just the way that it was in Appleton, Wisconsin. They had the Division III World Series in Appleton for 16 years. I think, were a little heartbroken to lose it. This had been the third time that Cedar Rapids had bid for the event, but by all accounts, a very, very successful Division III World Series going on at Veterans Memorial Stadium, and we'll let you know when that game goes final. But again, Chapman leading Birmingham Southern 1-0. As promised, it's been a while since we've chatted with him. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com is with us. As a matter of fact, I was just reading your piece earlier on the big news today, Adam. Kevin Warren introduced as the commissioner in waiting of the Big Ten. This This took everybody by surprise. This came completely out of left field.
Yeah, it did, guys. Not a name that was mentioned on any sort of list. Really, last night, you know, just in sort of reporting the story with some colleagues, you know, we heard NFL executive, and then we finally got a name. And obviously, it wasn't someone with the league, it was someone with the NFL team. And but, you know, again, and the more that I've learned about Kevin in the last, you know, 16, 17 hours, it's been very, very positive. And then obviously meeting him today and, you know, just seeing how he was at his introduction and afterward, you know, hearing from other people, you know, even later this afternoon who had had interactions with him, he does make a lot of sense for the job. I know he's a bit of an outsider, but has a lot of skills that I think will translate to this job and certainly is very, very excited to get started.
So you mentioned some of those skills. What are the things that we are just learning about the upcoming new commissioner of the Big Ten who will take over next June?
Well, I think one thing to point out is even though he didn't have a lot of direct ties to college athletics from a career standpoint, he was a college athlete himself. His brother was a college athlete at Stanford, one of the first black scholarship football players for the Cardinal. Both of Kevin's kids are or were college athletes. His daughter played volleyball at Occidental College. His son is a football player at Mississippi State. He played, obviously, at Penn and at Grand Canyon U in basketball. And he, also, you know, he had some connections to some pretty notable college sports figures. I think most impressively, Mike Sly, the former SEC commissioner. Kevin worked with him at a law firm early in his career, kind of representing schools that were dealing with some NCAA infractions cases. And Kevin Warren was very emotional today talking about Mike Sly, who, of course, passed away last year, calling him a second father and saying how much he would have loved Mike to have been there today. They even talked about the Big Ten many, many years ago, talked about Jim Delaney in that conference. And so, even living in the Big Ten footprint, he said, he's had a lot of a familiarity with the Big Ten just by living in Minnesota. He was part of the search committee that named Minnesota Athletic Director Mark Coyle. He knows P.J. Fleck. He knows Gene Smith, the Ohio State Athletic Director. So there's certainly some people in the league that he knows, even though he's admittedly a bit of an outsider.
Adam Rittenberg with us of ESPN.com discussing the news that Kevin Warren will succeed Jim Delaney as commissioner of the Big Ten. What I found interesting, and you noted this in your article at ESPN.com as well, is according to folks there at the Big Ten offices today, Jim Delaney didn't really have any involvement in naming his successor. Did that surprise you?
You know, not knowing, knowing Jim, it wasn't a surprise. I think he understands he's, a very powerful person and has consulted on a lot of different jobs. But in this case, having been in this role for 30 years, he really wanted to defer to the president and the search process and not influence it in any way. And so, asking Michael McRobbie, the Indiana president who was there today, to introduce Kevin Warren, I just flat out asked him, what involvement did Jim have? And he said almost none, really none. In this. So I think he wanted to stay out of the way because he knows how influential he is. And I think he also wanted to respect the presidents and their ability to pick whoever they thought was best to succeed him in the role of commissioner.
We all know the wealth of the Big Ten right now and how much Jim Delaney has to do with it. For Kevin Warren, is there room for growth as crazy as that sounds for the Big Ten? Or is it just about the status, keeping the status quo and keeping this train on the tracks?
Yeah, it's a good question. It was something that he kind of wondered out loud today, in looking at how much the landscape had changed in the 30 years that Jim Delaney had been commissioner. Is it even possible that it could change that much in the next 30 years? It probably isn't, but it could change in different ways. And there, obviously, media environment is obviously changing, constantly. The collegiate model is something that people are having questions about, athlete compensation. The college football playoff wasn't around 30 years ago. So there are some areas, expansion, realignment, the future of the NCAA. So there are some areas where you could have significant change. But I think it's unrealistic to expect anybody to have the tenure that Jim Delaney had, nor go through the types of changes that he did during his time as Big Ten commissioner. But I did enjoy the fact that Kevin Warren recognize the history of this job and the fact that you don't take the Big Ten commissioner job to be in the job for 3 years or 5 years or 7 years. It's a long-term appointment. which is evidenced by the fact only five others have ever held this job, and the league has been around since 1896.
He also, as we've noted here, now becomes the first African-American commissioner of a Power 5 conference. What do you think that means in the grand scheme of things?
Well, I think it's significant for a couple of reasons. Kevin Warren comes from a family of people that are kind of trailblazers. He said this before in interviews, whether it was his grandfather, who I think had only a sixth-grade education but opened up his own drugstore in Phoenix, or his father was very, very accomplished, was a board member of the Fiesta Bowl and was a doctor in Phoenix. And, his older brother, who's much older, was one of the first black football players at Stanford. And so I think this is sort of natural for him to be, he was the highest ranking black executive on the business side in the NFL of M18. And so he's sort of used to this type of thing, and he understands the significance of it and said that today. But he also is very, very big on diversity and inclusion. And I think that this is one thing. He wasn't, as you guys probably saw, very open about talking about pay for play or the expansion of the playoff or really making any bold statements about some of the big issues we like to discuss. But he was very clear that this will be a league that gives a lot of different people opportunities and isn't going to close its door to anybody, whether it's based on race or gender or whatever. He was somebody that restructured the Vikings organization during his time there. He essentially ran the team, guys. I mean, that's one thing that's come through loud and clear. Yeah, he's not the owner. He's not the general manager, but Kevin Warren has run the Vikings. I mean, that's pretty clear from talking to folks around that organization or who know Kevin. And one of the things he did was appoint several female vice presidents, which is, hadn't happened a whole lot in the NFL before then. So I think the demographics of the league and certainly the league office could be changing a little bit with him in charge.
Some of the issues he's going to have to deal with, you've mentioned a couple of the big ones: student-athlete compensation, possible expansion of the college football playoff. Do those seem like the natural first things that are going to kind of come across his desk when he takes over in a year?
Well, yeah, I think it's something he's going to start studying in depth now. I mean, obviously, he's got kids, including one who's still a Division I football player. So it's something he's thought about. But I think being around Jim Delaney, who's going to stay on at least until the end of the calendar year to help with the transition, and other people, he'll have a better opinion to offer at some point in the future. But he did sort of let it slip today that he's still a big fan of the collegiate model, essentially saying that you can't put a dollar figure on what being a college athlete is. And I don't think the Big Ten presidents would have hired somebody who was, rah-rah pay for play and let's give athletes, tons and tons of money from the schools. Now, obviously, there's an image and likeness committee that's going on with the NCAA, and I do think that's going to happen at some point where athletes will be able to profit individually off of their name and likeness. But I'd be surprised if Kevin Warren is beating the drum for salaries for college athletes. Now, his thoughts on the college football playoff, I would be a little surprised if he's not pro-expansion, coming from the NFL and seeing how an expanded playoff is obviously increased opportunities and helped that league for many, many years. So if he's someone who's okay with the four, with the Big Ten champion being left out the last 3 years, that would come as a surprise. But again, he didn't offer any of those opinions, but we'll be formulating those over the next few months.
Do we know how many candidates were in the running for this? I know Jim Phillips' name was thrown around, and almost everybody, myself included, kind of felt like it was a foregone conclusion, which is really why a lot of us were surprised when Kevin Warren was announced. But do we know what the pool was of the candidates?
Right, yeah, I think I'll have a better answer for you next time we talk. I did ask Michael McRobbie about that today, and he didn't offer much other than to say more than 60 folks were nominated as successors right after Jim Delaney announced he'd be stepping down. So they received quite a big pool and then narrowed it down I've heard that both Kevin Warren and Jim Phillips were finalists for the job. We don't know how many other finalists there were, but I would say it's likely it came down to those two or maybe another candidate or two, and that's it. But it started out with a pool of more than 60 candidates.
Adam, of all the things that Jim Delaney accomplished, is his crowning achievement always going to be the creation of the Big Ten Network and how that sort of changed the landscape of the entire conference?
I think without a doubt, I think the combination of BTN and then the other media rights agreements that he negotiated and ultimately delivered are the biggest elements of his legacy. And it's something that I asked Kevin Warren about, because I talked to Jim many times over the year about how he looks at those media agreements and just the position of the conference every day in the job. And here's Kevin Warren coming in from the outside. How equipped is he? How comfortable is he in that space? And he said, you know, I've been basically negotiating different types of deals every day for the past 15 years, whether it's obviously an ownership agreement with the Wolf family, whether it's a new stadium, whether it's a sponsorship agreement and naming rights and their facilities that they've built. Now they're building all this other real estate, the Vikings are. So he feels very comfortable and confident in that area. And I think that the presidents and chancellors also saw that as a strength of his.
If he was offered a mulligan on anything he's done between 1989 and now, do you think Jim Delaney has something in mind?
Oh, I don't think Jim's one to. He'll say he made mistakes, but if you're asking, you know, does he regret Rutgers or something, he's not going to say that.
I never say, hey, Adam, don't put words in my mouth. I left it open ended.
Yeah, I think again, I look forward to talking to Jim more about this as we get closer to him moving on. But I do think Jim could have been a little bit more transparent on certain things and maybe let people in a little more. I mean, Kevin Warren already today, just the connection that he made and the openness that he showed to share his own story, got emotional a few times talking at the podium. We never saw that from Jim Delaney. And now you can't ask somebody to be a phony, and Jim wasn't. But I don't think he really let people in. And I think a lot of people around the country had a perception of him that, you know, maybe wasn't true or was only partially true. And so, yeah, there were certainly things along the way, the opposition to the playoff and digging in on the Rose Bowl. But knowing Jim, I don't think he would apologize for any of that.
Adam, before we let you go, you had an interesting piece yesterday at ESPN.com, the game to beware for all of the top 25 teams going into 2019. You've got Middle Tennessee circled for Iowa on September 28th. Show your work on that.
Yeah, you know, again, for me, going through Iowa's schedule, I'm trying to look for a game that they would maybe overlook, and it's not Iowa State. I mean, we've already talked about this on this show, guys, that that could be one of the better games of the non-conference. Both teams could be ranked going into that matchup in Ames. And then you look at their Big Ten schedule. I mean, they're not overlooking Wisconsin or Nebraska or Northwestern, a Purdue team that's beaten them a couple of times. Those are all games that Iowa's going to be ready for. So Middle Tennessee kind of falls after that bye week. I think the bye week is overrated by fans. They always think it's great for their team. Oftentimes, you'll see teams will either lose or come out very sluggish. And if you look at Iowa, one of their issues, I know not the last couple of years, but for many years before that, is they'd always kind of lay an egg in a non-conference game at home. Whether it's Northern Iowa or Northern Illinois or some team they should beat, they would struggle. And you look at Middle Tennessee, you know, not a overly impressive team, but a solid team, one that, you know, typically makes a bowl game and wins 6, 7, or 8 games. So it's just a game that you don't want to overlook, but you could, just kind of it's natural, kind of where it falls in the schedule after the bye week and right before a pretty tough start to Big Ten play. I believe it's Penn State and Michigan for Iowa to begin the league schedule.
Adam, a pleasure as always. We'll probably see you next month in Chicago at Big Ten Media Days. Hard to believe we're already thinking about that.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Look forward to seeing you.
Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com with us. The reaction out of Park Ridge today as Kevin Warren announced as the successor to Jim Delaney, just the 6th commissioner in Big Ten history. I left that. I did not specifically say, hey, do you think Jim Delaney wants a mulligan on bringing Rutgers in to the Big Ten, but Adam sniffed that one out pretty quickly. I mean, he's been commissioner since 1989. Is there anything, do you think? Now, if you're asking me would kick Rutgers out, poor Rutgers. It's not poor Rutgers anymore, because they made the decision to join the Big Ten, and soon enough, they're going to be getting their full share of those $54 million checks or whatever the conference is cutting. And Rutgers, if you don't know the story there, was so eager to get a seat at the big kids table that they took lesser financial terms for a short period of time as they were eased into the Big Ten before they get a completely full slice of the pie. 319-366-7600. 16-under. We'll have more on Jim Delaney coming up in just a little bit. But right now, we've got tickets to see comedian Gabriel Iglesias, otherwise known as Fluffy. He's coming to the Iowa State Fair on Wednesday, August 14th. The State Fair announcing many of its musical acts and entertainment acts earlier this week. Tickets to see Gabriel Iglesias in August at the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines are yours if you are caller number 6 right now to 319-366-1600. Tickets to see Gabriel Iglesias to caller 6, 319-366-1600. When we return, more of Alex's thoughts on a St. Louis Blues victory in Game 4 last night at the Enterprise Center. Back after this.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired, but your guests do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Drywall, painting, general carpentry, kitchens, countertops, and alterations, and remodeling to business properties. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
See their work and get in touch at jacksonremodel.com.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer, all the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Where is your there? Your happy place, your go-to destination. Maybe it's that hidden cove by the lake, or that place an hour and a half away on Route 6 that serves the world's best meatloaf. Or maybe it's home. At Valero, we have the fuel to get you there, wherever there is. Because Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Lawn lovers, run with us on a John Deere Z500 Series Z-Track mower. Built to mow better, faster with an Excel Deep Mower Deck. Because whether you're up against the clock or a busy day, this zero turn gets it done in almost no time at all. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Test drive a Z500 Series Z-Track mower at your John Deere dealer during the Take Your Turn sales event.
Napa Know How.
At Napa Auto Parts, you can get $25 or more off brand new DeWalt power tools by trading in your old ones. You know, those worthless tools you never use anymore? Yeah, those dusty things can actually save you at least $25 on new DeWalt power tools. Not so worthless after all. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/19.
What does building a better bank look like? It starts with building Capital One cafes, warm, inviting places that feel nothing like a typical bank, where you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes, and you'll always find people ready to help you, not sell you. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only, offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC, cafes available in select locations. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
4:50, we welcome you back in. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And if you're looking to catch a celebration somewhere here in Cedar Rapids, you may want to head over to Veterans Memorial Stadium because Chapman is three outs away from wrapping up a Division III College World Series victory. The Panthers took Game 1 today against Birmingham Southern 6-4 and currently lead 3-0 in the eighth inning. Really an impressive run to a championship, not to jinx them at the moment, but they had to survive three straight elimination games just to get to the best of three championship series. They played UMass Boston and Washington and Jefferson on Sunday. They won both of those games and then came back yesterday to beat Massachusetts Boston again to punch their ticket to the championship, and here they are in the best of three. They're playing a doubleheader today. Chapman wins game one and is on the cusp of wrapping things up in game two. So There you go. Out of Orange, California,
the lone West Coast team.
Panthers. I talked to, well, my wife talked to someone who works downtown in one of the bars, and they said that they have been not overwhelmed, but they've noticed a huge influx of people this past weekend, and they're all in town. It's all the parents and the players from these eight. They started with eight teams, now down to two, and I believe close to wrapping up at Veterans Memorial Stadium. This is an event that I think Cedar Rapids could really rally around and grow over the course of the next 3 years. And then when it comes time to bid for the – this is the third time that Cedar Rapids has tried to host the Division III World Series. We finally got it here, and I know the attendance hasn't exactly been fantastic, but I don't think it was 16 years ago when Appleton, Wisconsin had it for the first time. So this is something that I think can become a really nice thing for folks here in Cedar Rapids to be proud of. And certainly those players from Chapman, if they hang on to win this game, game two in the championship today, I don't think they're ever going to forget that they won it here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And I'll step down and take my red coat off and no longer be an ambassador for the city. But we talk all the time or hear all the time about how there's nothing to do here and how it's boring and all that. There's so much to do here. You just need to know where to look for it and where to find it. And this is one of those events that, again, I think can make Cedar Rapids really... Now, get us a Brazilian steakhouse here. That's what we really need.
That would bring one of those. So much money to the city. These are the type of the events.
You mentioned that at the beginning of the show, and you got me really, really hungry for... Carved meats.
We need to go if we go to Big Ten Media Day.
I don't know whether Cedar Rapids would embrace the idea of a Brazilian steakhouse or not. That's part of the problem.
I know a lot of Cedar Rapidians that enjoy a fine cut of steak, but the price is pretty steep.
You get some lamb, you get some chicken, you get some pork. What else do they normally throw at you at the Brazilian steakhouse? I mean, you name it. Got to be careful with some of that. That looks like duck or something. Keep it away from me. I'm just not a fan of duck. It's too rich. But if you've never been to a Brazilian steakhouse, you don't know what you're missing out on, and most likely also don't work for the Big Ten, since there's a Fogo de Chão connected to the Big Ten offices in Park Ridge, and that's what got us talking about this, because Kevin Warren introduced today as the successor to Jim Delaney. 319-366-1600. By the way, congratulations to Quinton in Cedar Rapids. Quinton's going to be seeing Gabriel Iglesias at the Iowa State Fair in August. We'll have another pair of tickets for you tomorrow, but stay tuned, because in the 5 o'clock hour, your chance to take home a $30 gift card to La Cantina will be on the way. And speaking of the 5 o'clock hour, we'll tell you what's in store when we return after this.
My name is Brandon. I am a manager of tire sales at Firestone Complete Auto Care. When you come here to get service, we're going to take care of your car. Because you take care of your car is going to take care of you.
Come in for the Firestone Complete Auto Care Epic Sales Event and save $100 when you spend $500 or more. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Valid June 6th through June 9th. The exclusions apply. Not be combined with other offers. Additional fees may apply where lawful. See store for details.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, it's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Your next haircut now has a shortcut. Introducing the Sport Clips Haircuts app. That's right. Now the cut you want is just a tap away. Just download the app, check in at your neighborhood Sport Clips, and choose your Guy Smart stylist, and you're done. We'll text you when your stylist is almost ready. Then head to Sport Clips for a championship haircut experience. It's home field advantage for your hair. No appointment needed. Just download the Sport Clips app and check in. And don't forget a beard trim. Sport Clips. You choose the cut. We cut the weight.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our AutoZone Rewards program. Sign up is free, and you get a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. Looking to protect your engine and start that oil change? Get 5 quarts of Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $26.99. With more than 5,600 locations nationwide, getting the job done just got easier. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome back in. I am extremely bothered by something that I'm seeing on the text line here, and that's that 4795 feels the same way about the Scott's Tots episode of The Office as our producer Kyle Mann, that it's a terrible episode. I don't know how you can look at that and think that it's a terrible episode. It's hilarious. He promises all of these elementary school kids he's going to pay for their college. And then when they're getting ready to graduate high school and they give him this hero's welcome back, he has to explain to them that he can't pay for their college. That's funny. What are we worried
about? That's funny.
Are we worried about hurt feelings of fictional television character?
You get so attached to these fictional television characters, Todd, that you feel like they're your friends.
All right, I don't normally like to do this because this is a blatant ripoff of what they do on the Lebatard show every morning, but if you go to at Todd Brommelkamp on Twitter, for the next 2 hours, you can participate in a Twitter-only poll. Would a Brazilian steakhouse go over well in Cedar Rapids? And there are 3 options. Yes, no, or it would need to be a chain. If you're an independent Brazilian steakhouse, no.
Texas Day Brazil, it has to be Texas
Day
Brazil.
Is it a chain? Can I eat it in another city? If I can, you're more than welcome to open one up here in Cedar Rapids. 366-1600 as we look for you. Love this now. You complain about sticking to sports. Wait until we talk about game shows coming up in hour number two because James Holzhauer, the Jeopardy champion's reign of terror, came to an end yesterday. He did not beat Ken Jennings' record, but there's a lot of storylines, a lot of angles to approach that. No Kevin Durant for Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll still recap that with Alex. All of that and more coming up inside the 5 o'clock hour plus. We'll have your chance to take home a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. And they are, Chapman's pouring it on now at Veterans Memorial Stadium. They're up 5-0 in the 8th inning. So it looks like we will have a champion crowned in Division III baseball here. We'll let you know when it happens. Hour number 2 of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is on the way next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Right now, Warriors coach Steve Kerr has confirmed forward Kevin Durant is out of Game 3 of the NBA Finals tomorrow against the Raptors with an injured calf. Golden State guard Klay Thompson, questionable with a strained hamstring. If he's cleared to play, Thompson should, according to former NBA champion Sean Marion.
He's going to want to play. You know, it's almost like, do you play him? No. It's actually, can you stop him from playing? Klay is one of the toughest competitors in the NBA we have right now, especially on both end to end, you know what I'm saying, both sides of the ball. You know, so he just has that in him, you know what I'm saying? So if he's able to go, he's going to go.
Sean Marion on Golic and Wingo. Guard Andre Iguodala will play despite a calf issue. Forward Kevon Looney with an injured collarbone out the rest of the series. Rafael Nadal advanced to a record-extending 12th semifinal at the French Open with a straight sets win today. Nadal takes on Roger Federer next. Nadal 5-0 versus Federer lifetime at Roland Garros. Tigers say first baseman Miguel Cabrera will be limited to DH duties for the foreseeable future due to chronic knee issues. The 36-year-old Cabrera says he does not consider surgery an option.
Coming up Wednesday after a nice break, the NBA playoffs are back for Game 3, the latest on Klay's hammy and the Raptors' odds. Plus, the latest from the NFL is
mandatory minicamps are underway.
Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
The SportsCenter update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, celebrating 15 years of service.
Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services. For a while now, you've heard me proclaim my obsession with our beloved Hawkeyes. But my Hawkeye obsession pales in comparison to our obsession with providing you efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling commercial property or buying your first home. Sure, we love our Hawkeyes, but helping you is our passion. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City and HawkeyeTitle.com. The team you love, the people you trust.
It is 5:02, and we welcome you back in as the second hour gets underway. The Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for Brazilian Steakhouse discussions and ESPN Radio 106.3 FM in Iowa City, our South Gym frequency, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, your home all summer long for the first place Minnesota Twins. I had this statistic written down earlier today. I'm staring at it right now. The Twins are 21-9 on the road this season. Alex, all of last year, the Twins were 29-52 away from Target Field. So they're 8 road wins away from equaling the number of victories that they had on the road last year. Pretty impressive. They are in Cleveland tonight, and we will catch up with that game in progress on 107.5 FM at 7 o'clock tonight. 366-1600 doubles as the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids and say, we've got a suggestion on Twitter for a Cedar Rapids steakhouse in Brazil. I don't know what
that... What is a Cedar Rapids steakhouse?
I don't know what that would... Applebee's. I don't know what that would entail, but...
Please help us out.
I'll take all of my retirement money now and head to Rio de Janeiro and do some scouting. And you may or may not hear from me again in the near future. 319-366-1600. Again, a big thank you to Hertine and Stocker Jewelers for sponsoring the text line. Hertine and Stocker has been Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. Lots to get to here as we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com will be with us in about an hour. Plus, here inside the 5 o'clock hour, your chance to take home a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. There are three of them, one in Marion, one in downtown Cedar Rapids, and one in the Fountains off Edgewood. $30, you can use it at any of their locations. We'll give you an opportunity to take that off our hands sometime in the next 45 minutes. The big news today is the fact that Jim Delaney now has a successor, Kevin Warren. I don't think anybody was expecting this. I don't know necessarily what this means for the Big Ten moving forward because the conference isn't on autopilot at this point. But it's pretty close to being on autopilot. There are some major issues that aren't necessarily solely related to the Big Ten.
No, it's NCAA stuff.
Larger, bigger picture stuff where the Big Ten is going to have an input, certainly. But expansion, for the most part, is settled. I don't think the Big Ten is actively seeking 15th and 16th members right now. Not to say that there isn't another round on the horizon sometime in the next couple decades, and the arrival of the so-called super conferences is still somewhere down the road. Expansion of the college football playoffs, certainly going to be something that Kevin Warren's going to be a part of. And again, if you go back and listen to anything that was said today at his news conference, he certainly gave a solid first impression to those of us who were unfamiliar with him. And yeah, this looks like a solid move on the part of the Big Ten, one that Jim Delaney didn't have a single role in, according to Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com, which I found interesting, but Adam, who knows him much better than I do, said he wasn't surprised by that, the fact that Jim Delaney didn't want to get involved in naming his successor. Let's go to the phone lines, though, 319-366-1600, see if we can start a little brush fire here with Sonny in Iowa City, who wants to talk about a number of things. Sonny, I imagine one of the things you probably want to talk about is Game 4 last night.
Yeah, I think that Game 4 showed one of the most difficult things to do, which is how to come back after being just absolutely shelled in a playoff series. And, I mean, it was impressive. I think that most people would still agree that Boston has more firepower. But St. Louis is, I mean, to state the obvious, they're making this a series. And, man, you know, the level of mental toughness that you need after getting pulled in a playoff series to come back and have a not just a good game, but a great game is got to be one of the most difficult things in sports. So hats off to St. Louis all the way around. I am going to stick to my prediction of Golden State in five, despite the fact that it looks like injuries may ruin me. I thought Durant would be back at least by now. Certainly for game three, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. And now they're losing Klay Thompson. Like, at some point, Golden State has to develop some weakness. I don't know if it can just be Steph Curry out there and, like, four random fans. But, you know, I mean, I guess that's what Golden State does. With regards to the heavyweight championship of the world, now we have, like, what, it's like three consolidated titles being held by Ruiz Jr., and people have argued whether or not it's good or bad for the sport. I mean, the heavyweight boxing division has been so much of a non-conversation that I don't see how it could be bad. I mean, it at least introduced some eyeballs onto it. And I realize that it ruined a potential super fight, but, I mean, come on, guys, you can't sit on super fights. You have to make those happen immediately or stuff like this happens, which it inevitably did.
Sonny, we appreciate hearing from you as always, and he has led me. You can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink, and you can take the host to a topic that he wasn't planning on talking about, and let's see where this goes. But Sonny brought up the fight from the weekend. I wanted to get to this yesterday, and then all of the other earth-shattering topics that we cover on this program for a variety of reasons overshadowed it. Andy Ruiz Jr.
Incredible.
Beat Anthony Joshua in what's being referred to as one of the biggest upsets in boxing history, perhaps even sports history. And all I know about this is people were losing their minds because Andy Ruiz Jr., who now has the WBA, WBO, IBO, and IBF championships, Anthony Ruiz Jr. he doesn't have washboard abs. I'm trying to think of a way in 2019 to put it.
He's a big guy.
Diplomatically. Some would say that he's a fat dude. He's a fat guy. I wouldn't call him fat. He's the heavyweight champion of the world. He would likely scramble my brains with one punch.
But the optics of this was why this
Sonny,
became...
Sonny, why did you do this? Why did you bring up Andy Ruiz Jr. on a Tuesday? Why?
I know that boxing... My dad came to me on Saturday or Sunday morning and goes, "You know what? I'm done watching boxing. I can't watch boxing anymore." I was like, "What are you talking about?" I had no idea what happened because I was watching the Blues get shellacked that night. And he tells me that I thought Anthony Joshua was the real deal, and he just got pummeled by a guy that looks like me, that is in the shape that I am. And I asked him, I'm like, "Why is that a bad thing? Isn't that entertaining?" Anthony Joshua, who is just absolutely shredded. Like, this guy is just ripped to the gills. Huge heavyweight fighter gets beaten down by a guy who a lot of people would consider a little bit overweight.
Well, I guess at least we're not talking about Brazilian steakhouses at the moment. I did not anticipate discussing the Ruiz Joshua fight, especially on a Tuesday, but here we are. They're going to have a rematch, by the way. I think November has been set for this. Now, Tyson Fury, right, is the guy that Joshua should have fought? Or am I mixing up?
I know there was Deontay Wilder?
Deontay Wilder.
Deontay Wilder.
I'm mixing my sports here. I think I'm guilty of that. All I know about this is that everybody was criticizing Anthony Joshua for making the wrong fight here. But I think, again, this was, I don't care whether this guy's 30-1. I can go make some money. And
he got smoked.
Yeah.
Just smoked.
This is just complete utter chaos right now because Sonny led us to one topic, and now we're going to circle back around to hockey. I've lost control of the show at 5:12 on a Tuesday on June 4th. I want that to be on the record. Mike in Cedar Rapids wants to talk Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Mike, the show is yours. Go ahead.
Boys, I am shot out of a cannon today. I just got back from St. Louis. I was at Enterprise. I've been a fan for 30 years. I've been to plenty of games. My family's got season tickets down there, and that was one of the most amazing scenes I've ever witnessed in person. That arena totally blew the lid off, man. It was such an amazing game.
Mike, I'm going to be living vicariously through you, and I'm glad that everybody in Game 4 had a great experience because that town deserved it. So now, without further ado, I think we can get this train back on the tracks, Todd.
That was it? Okay.
That was it.
Wasn't what I was expecting. Game 5, by the way, is not until Thursday night as the series shifts back to Boston. We will have that here on KGYM. I was expecting a little bit more. It'd be like going to a Brazilian steakhouse and having the waiter come around with a hamburger and cutting off a piece of the hamburger and giving it to you and being like, where's the steak? Where's the little bacon-wrapped scallops or whatever else it is? 51% of the Twitter respondents so far say, yes, a Brazilian steakhouse would go over well in Cedar Rapids. 23% say that it would need to be a chain, though. I like my Twitter audience just as I like the listening audience out there in Radioland. 366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. If you would like to weigh, it's Potpourri Tuesday. It's whatever the hell you want to talk about Tuesday. Welcome.
It's Brazilian Steakhouse Tuesday.
It's Brazilian Steakhouse Tuesday. Yes. Brought to you, presented by Applebee's.
We got those carving knives that we are holding the meat up by. What are those things called?
Sunny? Okay, if it were any other listener, they would not get a pass. I'll give you a pass on this. Wants to talk about? I thought it said Game 4 and the NBA Finals, and then Sonny just goes off down.
Well,
down
I think
the
he touched on all
road.
Of them.
Did he?
He did. He Game 4, great bounce back by the Blues. I'm still sticking with the Golden State in 5.
Okay,
but
you're right.
He did fight.
Throw that in there. He did throw that in there before. Look, the list of, I don't want to use the term fat because he's in better shape than pretty much 98% of the people listening to the show right now would be my guess here. But Andy Ruiz Jr., there's something about him. It's hard to describe. I know the term dad bod has become popular. His is a little bit north of dad bod.
A little bit.
Dad bod is, you're like, I don't have dad bod. I'm fat. I lost a bunch of weight, and then I sort of had dad bod, but I'm still fat. Andy Ruiz Jr. is somewhere in between that dad bod and fat guy, and that leads me to, if you had to create a list of the greatest fat athletes of all time, I don't want to say Mount Rushmore, because the minute that you do that, I feel like going out and slamming my hand in a car door 5 times because it's dumb and it's lazy and it's just so stupid. I don't know why there's a market for that type of content in anything, online, radio, and it just bugs the hell out of me because it's the lowest common denominator. And yep, here we are. It's not a Mount Rushmore, but fat athletes. Who comes to mind? 319-366-1600. there are a ton. We should exclude baseball. We should make this really difficult and not allow people. But see, then you got pretty much every offensive lineman. You could name any offensive lineman, and I would have to go along with it. Have you seen Joe Thomas of the Cleveland Browns?
Now I have.
He's been retired two seasons. Unrecognizable.
That happened in 2 years.
Yeah, these guys. I remember a couple years ago, I was down on the sidelines at Kinnick Stadium and ran into Bruce Nelson, who a contemporary of mine from my days at the University of Iowa. Unrecognizable. Because Bruce Nelson was a big dude when he played for the Hawkeyes. He wasn't the biggest guy on that offensive line, but he had size to him. And you come across him now in retirement, and it's like the incredible shrinking man. All of these guys, because they don't need the size anymore, so they trim down.
Right. The linemen shrink, and the skill position players balloon up a little bit. That's sort of the general rule of thumb of football.
Chapman, by the way, has claimed the Division III College World Series at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The Panthers have defeated Birmingham Southern 11-0 in Game 2 of that doubleheader. So the World Series is over. They will not need to play Game 3 tomorrow. And Cedar Rapids' turn as the host of that event is in the books. And a big thank you to everybody. I was stunned last week to come back to my desk, and there was a credential waiting for me, and I didn't ask for it. And Chuck Uragan and the folks at the America Rivers Conference were absolutely fantastic to everybody here at KGYM Radio and inviting us over and welcoming us as part of that event. So, again, I checked it out on Saturday, and there were no fat athletes there. Division III gets a bad rap. Division III athletics gets a bad rap, and I don't know why. Because I heard some people around town, the level of play is not going to be that good. I went, and I was thoroughly entertained as a baseball fan. That was top-caliber baseball.
The upper levels of Division III is pretty darn good in every sport, especially baseball and football.
I mean, I don't know what some folks want, but the 27 Yankees aren't stepping out of a cornfield in Cedar Rapids, Iowa anytime soon. You can take what you get around here.
Yeah, the Big Ten tournament isn't coming here. The Division III tournament, these are the types of events that bring so much revenue and money to a city. That's the fact of the matter, and the more you embrace these types of events, the more events you're going to get. You got to start somewhere.
Rob in Center Point has a fat athlete that he would like, and it's not an offensive lineman, but it's from the sport of football. Rob, go ahead.
Jared Lorenzen, Kentucky quarterback, doughboy.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame fat athlete. First class, you're talking the Babe Ruth, Cobb, Honus Wagner, the initial Hall of Fame class. Jared Lorenzen is in that initial class. If there were a fat athlete Hall of Fame, he's in it.
Super Bowl champion Jared Lorenzen.
The Pillsbury throw boy or the hefty lefty. Hefty lefty, Pillsbury throw boy is in another tier all by itself as far as great nicknames go. I feel like we've done 7 of the gym class's Friday topics here in about 45 minutes. We're either stealing material or we're putting them on cruise control for the entire summer, because they could very easily take these. What have we covered here?
Best fat athlete.
Scott, I hope you're in the office taking notes.
Would a Brazilian steakhouse work in Cedar Rapids?
What would the topic on that be, though?
Well, that is the topic.
Yeah, but it needs to be something a little bit
more. You could frame it a little bit more
general.
We come up with
fat
ideas.
Athletes,
you got to trim the fat around the edges.
Athletes,
no pun intended.
Great nicknames. That was a daily double there with Jared Lorenzen. And we're going to talk game shows coming up in just a little bit, because I've been following along with what James Holzhauer was doing on Jeopardy and chasing Ken Jennings's record, and he fell short yesterday and Darren Rovell spoiled it, and people were upset at Darren Rovell, and it was just an amazing day for people like me who live down in the gutters on Twitter, the Darren Rovell area of Twitter, where I often find myself swimming looking for content. But let's go back to the phone lines. 366-1600. Steve in Marengo now wants to weigh in on a sudden topic that's just bubbled up from the primordial ooze on Tuesday. What's up, Steve?
I'm just thinking, what was the guy's name from the San Francisco Giants third baseman? Was that Sandoval?
Pablo Sandoval, Kung Fu Panda. Yes.
Yeah. I'd say he qualifies pretty close to that.
That would be a fat athlete. Prince Fielder, fat athlete. Then he went vegan. That was the story anyway, and then he slimmed down a little bit. But
yeah, a little bit, but that didn't last too long.
John Kruk.
Bartolo Colon.
Again, I think you have to take baseball players out of the equation because there are too many of them, too many fat baseball players. Now, Oliver Miller comes to mind from the basketball universe. Robert Tractor Trailer, although I don't know whether he was fat. He was just big.
Charles Barkley?
Oliver Miller was a big dude.
Yes, he was.
Charles Barkley didn't really get fat until after his playing career was over, right? I don't know if I would call him fat. He was thick.
He was big. He was very, very big.
He was
big.
A big dude.
I'll give you that one.
The opposite of Manute Bol here. Manute Bol, skinny. We're looking for fat athletes. And baseball players are probably off the... There has to have been like a fat kicker.
Yes, Sebastian Janikowski.
Well, Seabass. Okay, how about the Penn State guy? Remember the Penn State kicker from a couple years ago?
The one that kept running down the field trying to lay people out, and then somebody realized that if he does that, you can hit him. Do you remember that hit, by the way?
I do, and then I remembered that there was something along the lines that this particular young man had dealt with mental illness, and if I remember correctly, and then I no longer found him to be funny. I felt kind of bad that people viewed him as the fat kicker from Penn State. And that was the first time that I ever, in the back of my mind, had doubts about James Franklin. Fathletes is what Colin on the text line would like us to refer to these gentlemen as. I don't want to say just dudes, but I also don't want to go down the other road now that I just opened up, because it's 2019, and that's a bad place to go to. It's a bad place to go to. Fat athletes, a.k.a. fat dudes, 366-1600. And then we're going to segue into a conversation about game shows, and all hell's going to break loose for the Stick to Sports crowd. Let's go to Riverside. Travis in Riverside. You got a fat athlete for me, Travis?
Yeah, John Daly.
I'll accept it. I will allow it. John Daly is among
He's
the
a
all
Hall of
time,
Famer for sure.
Among the all-time greatest fat athletes. Won a couple majors, still at it, still smoking and drinking out of the McDonald's cup in the golf cart. How can you not love John Daly? 366-1600 if you want to weigh in on this suddenly very pressing topic. This is going to be one of those shows where somebody realizes they're looking at the line item budget here at the radio station, and they're looking at salaries, and they go, those two guys get paid to talk about what, and they did what? Yeah, this is one of those topics that puts us in peril here.
3877 has a very, very good one, and this one's going to hit close to home with you, Todd.
Don't say me. I was never an athlete.
He played for one of your favorite teams. Can you guess who I'm talking about?
Gilbert Brown.
Eddie Lacy.
The subject was fat athletes, not just fat people. Oh, no, he was athletic. We were doing a KGYM road trip. I specifically remember this. I remember Eddie Lacy falling out of the first round, and I remember my just unbridled excitement and joy that Eddie Lacy was going to possibly be a Green Bay Packer, and it came to fruition on day two of the draft, and if Tyler were here, he would throw it right back in my face. I'd never been more excited about a draft pick in my life than I was Eddie Lacy going to the Green Bay Packers, and he had, one... maybe two good seasons, and then he fell off a cliff.
He got very, very large.
Craig Stadler. We're going now. We go. John Daly has opened up the PGA wormhole here as the walrus is now being brought up on the text
Patrick
line.
Patrick Reed.
And the phone line is blowing up here. Sonny in Iowa City, you've totally gone and redeemed yourself. Let's start with Dan in Cedar Rapids. You're a fat athlete, Dan. Give it to me.
Yeah, hey, personally, I don't know if you guys agree, but I think Vlad Guerrero Jr. is kind of a fatty.
He has the body of a career-designated hitter. I think
it's one of the question marks that people have about him.
It was fantastic that an American League team signed him out of the Dominican, and probably for the best, because that guy is going to be a DH at the age of 22. And I'm fine with, as a baseball fan, I'm completely fine with that. Just let him hit and hope that he can keep his conditioning up to the level where his body doesn't break down on him. Because speaking from personal experience, when you are a fat guy, your body breaks down at an alarming rate, especially when you're young. You're young and fat, you feel old. Constantly feel old. Let's go to Melrose in North Liberty. Fat athletes, Melrose, what you got?
All right, guys. Hey, this guy played in the NFL, and he ran the ball. You guys guess.
And it's not Eddie Lacy?
Not Eddie Lacy.
Or Mike Tolbert?
Ran the ball in certain situations, and he was fat.
I'm guessing he's going the refrigerator.
Yeah, are you going
here
with the fridge?
Yes.
You tried to go the stump the Schwab route there. Actually, a couple people on the text line have brought up William the Refrigerator Perry, number 72. I had his rookie card, and I thought that was going to pay for at least a semester at the University of Iowa when I was seven years old. It didn't turn out that way, unfortunately. Still have the card, too. 1986 Tops. Good-looking cards. 366-1600. All I'm seeing on the text line right now are Jared Lorenzen references, William the Refrigerator Perry references, and Eddie Lacy references. Ron Dane, 3297. Ron Dane is one of those guys who was just a big dude when he was at Wisconsin, dragging Matt Bowen and Matt Stockdale and the rest of the Hawkeyes up and down Camp Randall. And then he went to the Giants, right?
Yes.
And he got fat. He went from being an NFL football player to just being fat. And I saw him maybe 2 years ago, I saw him in a press box at a Wisconsin game, unrecognizable, and not necessarily in a good way.
He continued to go that direction, did he?
Yeah, he's still eating.
You remember Le'Veon Bell at Michigan State? He was a big guy. And that was one of the big questions about him, whether or not he was going to head in that direction. Now, he completely headed in the other direction and got skinny, but he was one of those guys for a while where you wondered if he was a little bit too hefty to play in the NFL.
5749 brings up Ivan Rodriguez. His nickname was Pudge.
I'm not going to call that fat.
Not going to allow that one because no. I met him a couple years ago when his son Derek, who's now was in the majors with the Giants. I think he's back in AAA. But Derek was a Cedar Rapids Colonel, and Ivan came to town for a little bit. He's a thick dude, not fat, thick, muscular.
And he got a lot smaller and skinnier towards the end of his career.
Also played on those mid-90s Texas Rangers
teams
with Jose Canseco and Alex Rodriguez and
Juan Gonzalez.
Again, if the legal department is listening, I didn't specifically accuse him of anything. Somebody on the text line brought up Rick Rushel. That is an acceptable answer. I would also accept his brother Paul Rushel. But Rick Rushel, who pitched into the 90s and served up that memorable home run to Bo Jackson at the All-Star game, I believe it was at the Big A in Anaheim, when Bo Jackson hit the home run in the first inning to dead center. Rick Rushel is definitely on the list. And oh no, we're not going. No, not doing it. Not doing it to Brennan Kugel. I'm not bringing college kids into this. Just let Cougs be. That poor kid had enough thrown at him. 531, we need to take a quick timeout. 319-366-1600 if you want to use the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. I can only imagine what's running through the minds of some of the people on the text line who I can just see the preview. It says they're late. They're just turning their radios on and they wonder what the heck is going on. I offer you no explanation, folks. Zero. This is all Sonny in Iowa City's fault. Then he redeemed himself because suddenly it took off. For a while there, it looked like he had piloted the plane right into the Andes Mountains. And now, here we are, 25 minutes later, and I want to send him an edible arrangement. 5:32, quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to get you a big board update, and then perhaps we will actually get around to talking about a pertinent sports subject of the This is Sports Talk Radio. Again, they're looking at the ledger, figuring out how much they pay us to do this job, what we're talking about right now, and whether or not this is all worth it in the end. I think it is, but even I'm not quite sure. Back with more after this.
Your first place Minnesota Twins are on display at Target Field.
Got him! Ball game over, and the Twins win.
You've got Buxton crashing into walls.
Byron makes the play with his back slamming into the padding in center.
With a new hero every night.
Hit high in the air, left field, Smith back, he'll turn around. Gone! Two-run homer for Crone.
Join us on June 15th as we celebrate the career of Joe Mauer by officially retiring number 7. Get your tickets to this historic moment by visiting twinsbaseball.com.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
Trying to take back your space and have old appliances, grills, and lawnmowers that don't work anymore and old tires in your garage or basement? Bring them to the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. Starting July 1st, appliances, scrap metal, and tires will only be accepted at 1954 County Home Road in Marion, the same location as the landfill and resource recovery building, so you can take care of all your disposal and recycling in one trip. Some items have a drop-off fee, so get pricing and other details at Solid Waste Agency.
Construction is a pain in the butt. Let's just admit it. TCB Pool Hall isn't into that look on the bright side BS. They know you're sick of it too. So every day until pet mall construction is over, pool's just $2 an hour. $2. 1 hour of pool, done and done. TCB's 26 rotating taps and 30 plus bottles and cans of suds will ease the pain too. Hang out, play $2 an hour pool. Complain about the construction and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the pet mall, downtown Iowa City.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Listen up, everybody. I'm happy to say that our office will be doing a winter coat drive.
Oh, I think I have something.
Actually, they just need men's coats in a size medium, preferably light blue.
What charity is this exactly?
The None of Your Business Foundation.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
After an off day, the Twins road trip continues tonight. Game one of a three-game series with the Indians. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Devin Smeltzer with the Twins, Shane Bieber for the Tribe, on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Hearing that reference to the Ped Mall in Iowa City reminds me that we are going to be there tomorrow for Lunchbox Heroes, presented by Built by Pros, our annual summer program that gets us out and about and allows us to say thank you to all of the folks who work in the building trades that make the corridor such a great place to live and work. Ped Mall construction project tomorrow in downtown Iowa City. We will be there and looking forward to spending some time with many of you who listen to us throughout your workday. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, another Ped Mall tie-in, 101 South Dubuque Street. Stop on in and tell them you heard about them right here on KGYM Radio. Yeah, the station that was talking about the fat guys. They'll be very confused. They'll have no idea what you mean. 5:36, let's go ahead and bring Kyle in. He's got a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check him out at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City or the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
It's a monumental day for the Big Ten as the conference officially named Kevin Warren to be the sixth commissioner of the Big Ten Conference. He'll officially begin in mid-September and will work alongside Jim Delaney until he officially steps down next January. Warren's going to leave his post as COO of the Minnesota Vikings to become the first African-American commissioner of a Power 5 conference. When Delaney steps down, it'll conclude a 30-year tenure, the longest in the conference's history. There's long been a connection between the Iowa football staff and the New England Patriots, so it's not necessarily a surprise that a tweet from ESPN's Mike Reese revealed that Kirk Ferentz was in attendance at the Patriots practice today. Accompanied by a picture, I can see that Seth Wallace, Kelton Copeland, and Jay Neiman are along for the ride, as well as at least two other Iowa staffers. No Hawkeyes were selected in the Major League Baseball draft last night, or have been yet, but Mizzou Tiger and Central DeWitt product T.J. Sycamore was selected by the Yankees 38th overall. The Colonels are going to begin a stretch of 8 games in 7 days this evening in Clinton. They've got 3 with the Lumber Kings, followed by 5 with Peoria, including a doubleheader on Sunday before returning to Cedar Rapids next Tuesday. Tonight after the show, we're going to join the Twins asserting their dominance over the Indians. The Twins enter tonight with an 11.5 game lead on Cleveland, and we'll bring you that game from Cleveland on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
The Twins taking a high school third baseman out of California with the 13th overall pick, so probably won't be seeing the number one pick for the Twins in Cedar Rapids this season, the way that we saw Trevor Larnach here at the end of last year. Larnach out of Oregon State, a college player, moving along a little bit faster. Royce Lewis, 2 years before that, moved quickly because he was the number one overall pick and was putting up video game type numbers. But never say never. As Kyle mentioned, the Colonels on the road tonight in Clinton, and then they go to Peoria over the weekend. They'll be back in town next Tuesday. This is a 13-game, 14-day road trip put together in part because of the Division III College World Series the Colonels had to vacate the stadium for. And if you're just joining us, congratulations to the Chapman Cougars of Orange, California, your Division III national champions in the sport of baseball, wrapping up with an 11-0 victory in game two of a what was essentially a doubleheader against Birmingham Southern at Veterans Memorial Stadium earlier today. Chapman surviving not one, not two, but 3 consecutive elimination games just to reach the best of three finals and then sweeping Birmingham Southern. I imagine Steve Cook and the Cohawks are a little disappointed because Birmingham Southern is the team that ended their season. And if you're gonna lose in the Super Regionals, you can at least say that you lost to the eventual national champion. And it looked that way for a while. Birmingham Southern was undefeated going into the best of three championship game, and then Chapman got them. So again, if you're in town for the Division III World Series, hopefully you had a good time, and hopefully we'll see you back here again next year. I don't know whether that's going to be the case or not, though it's very difficult to repeat in virtually any sport. In Division I baseball, the Super Regionals are about to get underway. Michigan making it to the Super Regionals out of the Big Ten, so at least one Big Ten team is still alive. No word yet on possible replacements for Darren Erstad at Nebraska, and no reaction yet publicly, at least to my knowledge, from Rick Heller for once again being thrown out there like a piece of chum by Kendall Rogers at D1Baseball.com, which I hope isn't affiliated with D3Baseball.com. They can't get out of Cedar Rapids fast enough. 5:40, game four. In all of the randomness here of the 5 o'clock hour, it started with a reference to Game 4 last night with the St. Louis Blues.
Is that where it started?
Well,
man, that was a windy road, Todd.
Sonny brought up like 3 topics.
He
and
did.
Then we had the caller who called in just to let us know he was on his way back from Game 4.
We did.
And then we wound up talking about Jared Lorenzen and John Daly and the Russell brothers for about 25 minutes. And so here we are, back on track. Game 4 last night. This is not something that was necessarily all that unexpected. We talked about Jordan Binnington's numbers yesterday, coming off a loss with Chris Raby of KMOX. He was very good both in the regular season and throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs and Stanley Cup finals, coming off a loss. Pretty good effort last night.
I think the biggest thing that we learned or have learned through the first four games of this series, where you've seen two games dominated by each team, is the fact that both of these goalies are outstanding, both of these goalies are resilient, but they can be a little bit rough sometimes with their rebound control. And I thought both were last night, although Jordan Binnington was much better. Tuukka Rask was, they got to him a little bit, which was good to see for the St. Louis Blues. But the realization that I came up with is that if the Blues skate 5-on-5, they are a better team than the Boston Bruins. The Boston Bruins on the power play, if they give up 3 or 4 power plays per game, are going to destroy the Blues. How have the Bruins taken over the two games that they've won in this series? On the power play. How have the Blues controlled the two games that they have won in this series? Staying out of the box, getting to the forecheck, cycling the puck, and wearing down the Boston defense. And the biggest news of the day is that Zdeno Chara, who took a puck to the face last night off the stick of Braden Schenn, has a broken jaw, according to many reports, and he may be out for the rest of the series. So this series is tied at 2, a pivotal game 3 coming up on Thursday, and we've seen both teams control two games and both teams get dominated in two games. And something has to give. What type of effort are we going to see from both of these teams in game 5? We haven't seen a back-and-forth game. We have not seen a back-and-forth game, even though some of these scores have been close. We've seen two lopsided victories from each side.
Thursday night, as we mentioned, the series shifts back to TD Garden in Boston. Do you think that this thing is going 7 games now? Because I, after watching last night, get the sense that this is going to be a 7-game series.
I do. I think it's going to go the distance. I just wonder right now if one of these teams loses the battle of attrition. If the Boston Bruins, now down 2 defensemen for the series, can sustain the pounding that the Blues dish out when they get their forecheck going, because they rely on their physicality. People call them dirty, and sometimes people believe that some of the hits that they lay on other teams cross the line a little bit, but they have to finish checks. They do. They are so physical in the offensive zone, and it takes a toll on teams. It took a complete toll on the San Jose Sharks. The Sharks were knocked off the ice by the St. Louis Blues. Winnipeg and Dallas, maybe not as much. I thought Dallas did a really good job. They had the skill and the size and the speed to stand up to it. But even them in game 6 and 7 were a little bit out of gas. Can Boston hold up, and can the Blues repeat that type of performance, stay out of the box, and win game 5 on the road? They've been outstanding on the road all season long, and I trust them more away from home right now than I do at the Enterprise Center, if that is crazy as that sounds.
319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in on any topic. That's actually dangerous to ask you to weigh in on any topic that we've touched on here on the program today, but it is yours for the using, the text line. It's also the phone number to call right now to take a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill off our hands. 366-1600, caller number 6. That's why you guys were sticking around through the fat athletes discussion. You're not fooling me. I thought for just about 30 seconds, I thought, man, the listener engagement, it's amazing. There are people listening today on a Tuesday in early June, and then it dawned on me, I'm just trying to win a $30 gift card to La Cantina, which is admirable. I would be doing the same thing if I were you. The problem is we can only have one caller number 6, and we're looking for them right now. 319-366-1600. When we return, Darren Rovell upset a lot of people on the internet yesterday, and I was in the front row for it because I enjoyed it very much. Back with more after this.
I said we've got your game. We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer? All the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, who's the greatest of all time? For my money, it's Progressive's home and auto bundle. It literally saves you money. Gentlemen, your thoughts?
Look, it's simple.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Add up all the heroes, take away the zeros, and what you got? One big trophy and me saying, I told you so.
I disagree.
Thanks, fellas. Took the words right out of my mouth.
There's really no debate. Progressive's home and auto bundle is a winning combination. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hulu's paying Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Mallory Pugh, and other U.S. soccer stars a lot of money to do a new goal celebration called Hulu Has Live Sports. Why? It's simple. Because Hulu has live sports. You can watch the biggest games and sporting events like the Women's World Cup this summer on 60-plus top channels. No cable required. Plus, you can stream the entire Hulu library. Start your free trial of Hulu today. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com.
The great thing about facts? They're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available at Pet Boys.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, it's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com, set to join the program coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. I got a text here while we were in that last commercial break from 8636, and I want to bring this to light here because many of you most likely have wondered just what in the heck is going on in the 5 o'clock hour, in which we were all over the map talking about fat athletes and the Stanley Cup Finals and Brazilian steakhouses and God knows what else we touched on. 8636 is driving through Nebraska right now, listening to the local ESPN talk show there. I don't know whether it's Omaha or Lincoln, but that's not germane to the discussion. What they are discussing right now is what's more likely to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. Husker football in the college football playoffs, or Husker men's basketball playing in the Final Four. And the texter says, I guess you can't fault their optimism, if not their delusions. I will walk out the door, I will quit, if I ever have to resort to what's more likely to happen in the next 5 years. Iowa is playing for a national championship or in the college football playoffs, or Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes are in the Final Four. And you know what? You know what? I bet the phone lines are ringing off the hook there. I bet they're getting texts just absolutely out the wazoo. And more power to them. 319-366-1600. Yeah, Sports Talk Radio. That sounds like two guys who feel like they have to talk about sports no matter what. Like they're in a hostage video or something. Like they've got a gun just to the left of them off the screen and you can't quite see, but they're... What's more likely to happen in the next 4 years? trying to blink out SOS with their eyelids if people are watching a simulcast on TV.
I know we started talking about Big Ten Media today, but don't you always kind of get that sense from a lot of the tables at Big Ten Media Day that it feels like they feel like they have to talk sports 100% of the time?
Some people are much better at it than others, and that's all I'm going to say. It's never been my cup of tea. Never. They brought me on board here, and I said, you do realize that you can't just constrain me to talking about sports, because 98% of the time, I'm bored to death by sports. And I know I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't admit that. But you can only do this for so long. And I'm 39 years old, and I've been paid my primary job, my primary source of income for 20 years has been writing about or talking about sports. I'm going to do this until I'm 65 or 70? Oh, my God. I sentenced myself to a life in the recliner tonight with a bottle of Buffalo Trace. I'm going to go home and I'm going to just drink to numb the pain, just thinking about that. And then occasionally, I have some fun here. We talk about Brazilian steakhouses and fat athletes. And the point is, we're not forcing you to listen to a forced topic. Like what's more likely to happen in the next 4 years, the Huskers playing in the college football playoffs or the Huskers playing in the Final Four?
Because,
but again, I bet the phone lines there are lighting up.
Right, because you know there's going to be a debate and a discussion.
Let's go to Doug in Grand Island. Is this Daddy? Daddy in Kearney, you're on with whatever is it. I don't even know the stations over there. I hope we get to go to Big Ten Media Day again this year, and I hope that we get to rekindle our bromance with Doug Duda of the ESPN Tri-Cities affiliate in Kearney.
He's our guy.
Last year, he was our guy. He was our inside. Hey, man, we want the inside dope on Scott Frost. Tell us. What do you got for us?
Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
And he loved it. It may have been the highlight of his trip to Chicago. I'm bummed about this, though. The Cubs are off on that Thursday, and the Friday of Big Ten Media Day, they play a day game. And the White Sox are out of town. So there will be no baseball during Big Ten Media Days for Todd and Alex this season. However, that just means there's more time for Brazilian Steakhouse. 319-366-1600. Again, I don't know if you're not familiar with the concept of a Brazilian steakhouse. My favorite, and I took you guys to Z451.
It was very good.
In Chicago, which is a local. It's not a chain. It's not Fogo de Chão or Texas Day Brazil. Z451. The name conjures up in your mind, you're thinking perhaps Pulp Fiction and Bruce Willis. Don't go that route. It's kind of I wouldn't say it was a high-end place. It was business casual. Business casual gets you through there. And again, don't fill up on the salad bar. Make sure that they continue to come around. And you will know when you have butted up to the line of getting your value for your money, because the guys who come around with the meat, and there's a specific name for them, and I'm not smart enough to know what it is, so I just call them the guys with the meat, they will come around less and less the more of the meat that you've eaten. They will specifically try to make sure that you're not getting your value.
I'm not above
flagging a guy down. Is that the ribeye? Get it back over here. Medium rare. Shave it off for me. And
does
bring
it look like this coin is on red?
And bring the sausage guy around next. 319-366-1600. Big Ten Media Days, as we mentioned, set for July 18th and 19th in Chicago. Iowa will do its speaking with the media on Friday the 19th. This is next month already. Thinking college football, the countdown to kickoff is going to get underway, presumably later on this month. And we will be off and running for another season of college football discussion here on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. Coming up, as we mentioned, Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com joining us in the 6 o'clock hour. And again, congratulations to Chapman out of Orange, California, Orange County, California, your Division III national champions in baseball this season. The Cedar Rapids Colonels and the America Rivers Conference hosting the D3 World Series for the next three seasons here in Cedar Rapids. So a lot of growing pains here with the first one. There always is any time that you bring a new event to town. I thought it was a wonderfully run tournament for the most part. I know the folks at the NCAA, the committee was very happy with the way that things worked out here in Cedar Rapids, and the downtown bars and restaurants and hotels were also very happy as well. So sounds like a winning event to me. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store for the final hour of the program. Back with more after this.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. The 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, it's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Can we agree it's Scott Frost having the Huskers in a position to play for the college football playoffs sooner than Fred Hoiberg?
Next year, right?
Well,
Hoiberg's at least 3 years off.
According
to the
preseason magazines, Nebraska is going to be in the college football playoff this year along with Texas. And Alabama's not.
Probably the favorite to win.
590. I know some of those guys over there, so I should probably bite my tongue. Otherwise, they'll give us the Andy Ruiz Jr. treatment in Chicago at Big Ten Media Day. 319.
Now that would be
366-60. I actually think it was one of the guys from 590 who years ago filled us in on Doug and Daddy and got us started on this whole mess that we're in right now. That's going to do it for the 5 o'clock hour. The good news or the bad news, depending on how you approach life and this radio show, is that there is a 6 o'clock hour to come before we meet up with the Minnesota Twins in Cleveland on 107.5 FM this evening. And in that 7 o'clock hour, or the 6 o'clock hour, Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com will be by to discuss. We're not going to get into the specifics of the MLB draft because I know very few of you care about it, but it's June. It's time to start taking Major League Baseball more seriously. And who better to do that with Ed Creech? He's our guest next as the 6 o'clock hour and the show continues.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
SBN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi with two breaking news stories. Bruins captain Zdeno Chara, who took a puck in the face last night, has a broken jaw. The team is making contingency plans if he can't play in Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final Thursday versus the Blues. Phillies outfielder and leadoff man Andrew McCutchen has a torn ACL. He's out the remainder of the season. Tigers announced first baseman Miguel Cabrera will be limited to DH duties for the foreseeable future after being diagnosed with chronic knee issues. 36-year-old Cabrera does not consider surgery an option. This could be a milestone night for manager Bruce Bochy. He is seeking his 1,000th career win with the Giants. With a victory over the Mets tonight, he'd become the second manager in franchise history with 1,000 wins, joining John McGraw. Madison Bumgarner on the hill for San Francisco against New York's Noah Syndergaard. Kevin Durant out of Game 3 of the NBA Finals tomorrow. Warriors coach Steve Kerr confirming Durant remains sidelined by that calf injury. Other injury news for Golden State, Klay Thompson hamstring strain is questionable. With a title at stake, Thompson should play, believes former NBA champion Damon Jones.
I'm under the mindset, after being a coach for the last 4 years, you don't give NBA Finals games away. And if he's able to get out there and be his best self, then I'm going to put him out there, because you never know what's going to happen from game to game in the NBA Finals. And all I need is 4 wins to be the champion of the world.
Damon Jones on Golic and Wingo. Andre Iguodala of Golden State will play despite a calf injury. Kevon Looney with an injured collarbone is out the remainder of the series.
Coming up Wednesday after a nice break, the NBA playoffs are back for Game 3, the latest on Clay's hammy and the Raptors' odds. Plus, the latest from the NFL is mandatory minicamps are underway. Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Purchase your parts at O'ReillyAuto.com. You can pick it up in-store when it's convenient for you. Your parts, tools, or accessories will be waiting at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. No shipping costs, easy returns, and convenient pickup. Shop O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Finding a new job is a lot of work. What if you had your own personal recruiter to help you find a better job? Now ZipRecruiter's technology can do that for you. Just download the ZipRecruiter app, let it know what kind of jobs you're interested in, and it puts your profile in front of employers. If an employer likes your profile, ZipRecruiter lets you know. So if you're interested in the job, you can apply. My listeners should download the free #1 rated ZipRecruiter job search app today and let the power of technology work for you.
6:03, welcome in. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Hour number 3 underway, 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Also heard on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids. Online at KGYMRadio.com, where we ask you today, what will you most remember Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney for? Delaney stepping down soon and making way for new commissioner Kevin Warren. Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Day 2 of the Major League Baseball draft has been completed. Rounds 3 through 10 taking place today, and extremely anticlimactic here in the state of Iowa because nobody with ties to the state of Iowa drafted between rounds 3 and 10. I say nobody. I'll put an asterisk on that. There was, I believe, a third-round pick and a ninth-round pick that played for the Waterloo Bucks in the Northwoods League, and that's about it. No Hawkeyes off the board, no area or state high school preps off the board, so we'll see what's in store in the third and final day of the draft, especially with regards to the Iowa baseball program. But it shouldn't be anything near as devastating draft-wise as they suffered last year. 319-366-1600 is the number to reach us at, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line, as we welcome our next guest on board, Ed Creech, with us for the first time in the month of June. Ed, this is always an interesting time. People start taking a little bit more care and paying attention to Major League Baseball, and especially this season, because now it's kind of open season on Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell. What's your gut feeling on where we see these guys land?
I still think it's going to be probably another week to 10 days. It does not seem like they have lowered their contract demands now that the draft pick is no longer attached to them. I think for Kimbrell, a lot of places make sense for him. You could talk about the Phillies. They've had injuries in their bullpen. They've lost 4 or 5 guys out of their bullpen. I think if they could sign Kimbrell, that will push Neris back. Sir Anthony Rodriguez will push back. That gives them a solid back end. I think the Twins could use him as a closer at the back end. The Cubs could use him, but they don't have the money. I don't think they have the financial wherewithal to add either Keuchel or Kimbrell. So, Atlanta would also make a great landing place for him. But, again, I think Atlanta is watching their pennies. Keuchel, I think, is a little bit more open. He seems to be more flexible as far as maybe settling for a one-year deal. But if he settles for a one-year deal, he wants it to be the same value of the qualifying offer, which is $17.9 million. And if you prorate that out for the rest of the season, it's anywhere between $10 and $12 million. And not a whole lot of teams have $10 or $12 million laying around that he want to invest in what is essentially a rental player for 4 months. Now, if they can come to a terms on Keuchel for a longer term contract, then it makes a little bit more sense. And again, Twins, I think, would be adding a veteran to the middle of their rotation. I think would be make sense. Right now, I think the Yankees are probably the one that would be the leader for Keuchel. They have the resources, but I think they're holding firm to having him on a one-year deal. They have plenty of holes in their rotation, so I think on paper it makes sense. I think the Cardinals are another one with their rotation being as weak as it's been. Adding a veteran like Keuchel in that would help them tremendously. So I think there are a lot of places that are open for these guys, and it's really going to come down to their salary demands. And what we've seen with the ownership and the front offices in baseball these last two off seasons, when it comes to free agents, they are very disciplined in what they are willing to pay. So the player's valuation of themselves and a front office valuation of them has been vastly different these last two off seasons, and I think it's continuing for both Kimbrel and Keuchel.
When those two do get signed, how interesting is it going to be to sort of track how quickly their rehab assignments go, how quickly these teams move them along? Because this is sort of uncharted territory. We saw it a little bit at the beginning of last season with guys like Greg Holland and Lance Lynn, but never this late in the year.
And throw in last year Alex Cobb and take a look at how disastrous those three pitchers' years were last year.
Right.
The Cardinals ended up releasing Holland. Lynn ended up being traded from the Twins to the Yankees, where he kind of stabilized himself. But if you take a look at his numbers with Texas, granted, Globe Life Park is a bandbox, but still, those are not the numbers he put up when he was with the Cardinals. And Alex Cobb has just been lost for the Orioles. So I think there is a strong argument that, and this is where you're going to get, they really do need, I think, a full 30 days to have a full-fledged spring training. I know Keuchel and Boris has been going on that he's been throwing a sim game every 5 days of 95 to 100 pitches. There is a difference, though, being at a major league mound in a major league ballpark facing major league hitters. And I think the push is, especially if you have them in a one-year deal, you want to get your money's worth. So you may rush them through that pseudo spring training to, instead of taking a full 30 days, you might want to wash it in a week or 10 days. And again, as you mentioned, with Lynn, Holland, Cobb, the results were horrible last year. The last time two players had gone this deep in were position players, both Boris clients, by the way, Kendrys Morales and Stephen Drew, and they both had disastrous years as well. I don't think you can underestimate the value of going through a spring training. And it's going to there were red flags already for Keuchel and for Kimbrel. Kimbrel had a lousy postseason and showed that he was mortal. Keuchel is no longer the Cy Young caliber pitcher that he was. He's more of a mid rotation. So again, valuation of what the player thinks, what the team thinks. It would not surprise me if both these players struggle tremendously once they do sign, especially if they are rushed onto the major league roster.
Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com with us, as he is every Tuesday, every other Tuesday throughout the Major League Baseball season. The Minnesota Twins, 40-18 in first place in the AL Central, fastest to 40 wins since 1991, a very important year in Twins history. How did they do this? How did they go from where they were last year to this unstoppable Bomba Soda force that Rocco Baldelli has this year?
Well, I think a new voice in Baldelli. If you take a look, even under Paul Molitor, the Twins were a very seesaw team, up and down, a roller coaster ride. Last year was their down year, so this would be their up year. But I think they're getting good contributions from some veterans they brought in, namely Nelson Cruz to be the DH, CJ Cron to manage first base. Buxton is healthy. I think that is a very key element, that he is healthy. And he is finally starting to live up to his reputation, both offensively and defensively. That put out he made the other day with his back against the center field wall and throwing the runner out at first was just fantastic. Polanco, remember, last year he had the PED suspension and missed half the year. He's healthy. He's been with them for a full spring training as well. That's going to be a recurring theme. And he's hitting the daylights out of the ball, and they're getting some good production from Rosario and elsewhere. So I think, they're starting, I think, even starting to creep back into the conversation. So because the pressure's not on him, you know, I think that takes a load off him. Plus, Garber behind the plate is giving some outstanding production before he went on the injured list. So I think what you've seen is you've had players that are healthy, You've seen healthy players produce. And I think you can't dismiss how well the starting rotation has done. I know Pineda went on the DL and his numbers weren't great, but still considering as long as the layoff that he has had as a fifth starter, I think that's been a boon for the Twins. So just their pitching all the way through from Odorizzi on down, Berríos. I think the combination, again, when you get good pitching, when you get healthy players who are producing offensively, that gives you the kind of record that the Twins are now enjoying.
A lot of Twins fans are wondering if that pitching can continue, but there have been reports out there that the Twins, or at least rumblings, that the Twins are going to be very active on the market, whether it's trading for somebody or signing one of the two guys out there for pitching. Do you expect that?
I think so, but I don't think that the front office of the Twins are going to veer off the path that they're on. We'll go back to the comment I made earlier that the front office, especially these last couple of off seasons, they have a plan in place. They have a valuation, whether it's analytics or just a newfound discipline. They have a valuation of what any acquisition is going to cost. And they are not going to steer from their course of rebuilding a franchise just because they are having a good season and this might be their all in. We've seen it, especially a good example, Jeff Luhnow in the Astros, David Stearns with the Brewers, and I think you're seeing the same thing here with Levine and Falsey. They are not going to veer off the path that they have taken these last couple of years just to either drain the farm system or drain the financial resources in doing a rental for this year. So I think they'll be active. I think they'll look for under-the-radar moves. Maybe they will be active in either Kimbrel or Keuchel. I really do think Keuchel would be a wonderful addition to this lineup. He's a veteran. He's won a Cy Young. He's won a World Series. And I think that kind of veteran presence, not just in the clubhouse, but also mentoring that starting rotation, I think will be invaluable. And I think for the Twins, getting him on a three-year deal, so that way maybe you don't have to rush him once he signs, I think would be a good sign to the clubhouse. And I think when you talk about how good the Twins have been so far this year, these trade acquisitions, you talk to players who are on contending teams, and when they see their front office augmenting their roster, that gives them a little giddy up in their boots because they realize their front office believes in them and believes that they can actually have the stuff to make a deep postseason run. So I think especially of a signing of a Keuchel or even a Kimbrel for that Twins clubhouse, I think just adds a little bit more veteran presence, and that shows that the front office has faith in that lineup, and I think the Twins could take off even more if they make that kind of move.
Ed, let's keep it in the American League Central. You're based in Chicago. The White Sox are 29-30. They're tied with the Indians for second place, but they're 11.5 games behind the Twins. However, only two games out in the wild card right now. How do you proceed if you're Rick Hahn at this point?
I think with it being in the American League, let's be honest, you take a look at the teams that are in position to be in the play. If the postseason ended today, the teams that would be in the postseason, I think, will be there in October, with the exception of Texas. I think they're going to eventually fall away in Boston, where their talent will be in there. So when you're taking a look, that most likely the wild card teams will either be two of the three wild card teams will either be the Yankees, Red Sox, or Rays. That being a given, for Rick Hahn, I think, again, what we were talking about for the Twins, not straying from your path to rebuilding, I think that's going to be the case here. I think if you see Rick Hahn make any moves at the trade deadline, it's going to be similar to what the Pirates did last year when they acquired Kela and Archer. A move for now, but also that has future team control, that it would be part of the rebuild in the next couple of years. So unless something happens to the White Sox where they start to fall out of contention, even on the periphery of it, I don't see them selling off like they have last couple of trade deadlines. But if they do make deals, I think it's going to be more like what the Pirates did last year, acquiring pieces for this year, but also with team control for the next two seasons.
I know we've asked you this question before, but now with this team around 500 and the state of the pitching staff, other than Lucas Giolito, how long can this team afford to keep Dylan Cease in AAA?
That's a good question. I think service time considerations are out the window. I think it's going to be, you really do need to proceed with caution because we talked about this, I think, on the 2 weeks ago. The White Sox have just been snake bit with the young kids that they've acquired, Kopech out. Dane Dunning out with Tommy John surgery. I think they really want to be very careful with how they develop these young arms that are still pitching. I think they want them to go through their progression, go through the maturation, go through the development, and make sure that when they do come up to the majors, they are strong, they are fit, and they are going to remain there. And when you're talking about a team that is, again, on the very far periphery of the wild card chase in the American League, I really just believe that let Cease get his experience at AAA, get the innings in, take the ball every fifth or sixth day where, yes, you're concerned about results, but the key thing at AAA is get your innings, get your development, and get your experience. So I think that's probably the wisest course for the White Sox right now.
Ed Creech with us of MLBTradeRumors.com. You brought up service time, so I want to ask you about your Brewers. Is Keston Hira really going back to San Antonio because he's got some defensive liability issues, or are they manipulating his service time? You can't sell me on Travis Shaw being a better option in that lineup.
If you're going strictly on numbers, I agree with you, but I think there's more at play than just strictly numbers. And David Stern was in when he met with reporters yesterday in announcing the decision, he was asked point blank, was service time anything to do with this? And he said no. And I don't have any cause to doubt him for this reason. The reason he gave part of it for Travis Shaw coming up, other than the pro forma that he was working in adjustments, he found something that worked and he feels comfortable at the plate. The thing to me that was telling for Travis Shaw was when David Stern says he belongs on a major league roster. And I think when you take a look at Travis Shaw, what he's done for the Brewers the last 2 years, 63 home runs, 187 RBIs over the last 2 years. When they acquired Moustakas at the trade deadline, Shaw moved over to second base, a position he had never played, whether it was Little League, high school, or college. He has been a solid presence, a strong but silent type in the clubhouse. And anything that the club has asked him to do, he has done, and he has done fairly well. And I think, considering that Shaw was eligible for arbitration this first time this past winter, Moustakas is a free agent. Long term for the Brewers, they see Shaw as their third baseman, Hira as their second baseman, and I think they were keeping that in mind when they decided, let's bring him up. And again, the key phrase from Stearns was, they believe that Shaw belongs on a major league roster. So even though he has options remaining, I just don't think they wanted to create any sort of tension with who they view, I think, as of right now, not maybe a long-term piece, but at least a piece over the next 2 or 3 years. And but Stern said, unquestionably, they have a short leash. And they were up front with Hira. He says, you're coming up here because Shaw's hurt, and when he's going to be healthy, you're going to go back down. And I just do not see service time manipulation at all with the Hira devotion yesterday.
When you look at the NL Central as a whole and see the way that all of these teams, all five of these teams, have had surges, they've had slumps, especially the three teams at the top. The Reds are five games under 500, despite, I think, having a plus 36 run differential.
Yep.
Is this exactly what you expected from this division coming into the year?
I think so, yeah. I thought Pittsburgh might have been a little bit more competitive with the pitching staff that they had, but they've been decimated with injury somewhat. And I just think Chris Archer is an enigma. He just has not reached that ceiling that many have had for him, whether when he was with the Cubs organization or pitching with the Rays. Everybody sees him as an ace, and I think you're seeing him as probably a 3 or 4 starter just based on his production the last few years. So the greatest problem with the Pirates is just finding a consistent offense, I think. Josh Bell's had a great first couple of months, but everybody else, Polanco is coming back from shoulder surgery. Their infield is kind of a not getting great production from either Moran at third. Frazier always seems to hit well against the Brewers, but everybody else, he's human. Newman and Reynolds look like nice little pieces, and Marte is a solid player. But I think the biggest thing for Pittsburgh is their offense. Elsewhere for the Cubs and Cardinals, it's going to be the same thing. The Cubs need to learn how to win a game on the road. The season opening road trip, 2-7, this last road trip in Houston and St. Louis, 1-5. I understand there are 4 months left in the season, but on these two road trips, they were a combined 3-12. And if the Cubs miss the playoffs or don't win the division, you could probably point back to either one of these road trips and say, hey, this when you went to a game 163 last year and you go 3-12 on a big on these two road trips, that could be a difference in their season. St. Louis, they had a great start from Wainwright over the weekend against the Cubs, 8 innings, 126 pitches, even though they gave up 7 walks. They need more of that. They need to find some consistency in their rotation. If they don't get that, that's when we talk about the Twins, they've had consistency in their rotation and performance. The Cubs and the Cardinals have not had that. And I think that's what and the Brewers, same thing. First month of the season, their rotation was horrible. When they finally acquired Gio Gonzalez, that stabilized things a little bit. And the rotation was much better. So it's going to be a seesaw. Inconsistency is going to be the key in this NL Central division. And whoever is pitching best, who is ever healthiest and producing in September, is going to be the team that is going to win this division. So it's going to be 4 more months of ups and downs in the NL Central.
Ed, do you think we've seen the last of Ben Zobrist in a Chicago Cubs uniform? He's been on the restricted list for the last couple weeks, getting a divorce, and the rumors are that he could just decide to retire, and that would possibly free the Cubs up to do some stuff with that money.
He could. I'm celebrating my 20th anniversary in August, although my dad went through 2 divorces. I know how that can mess up somebody. We tend to think of athletes as superhuman, that they don't have emotions and that there is nothing going on off the field for them. And we only see them in their uniform on the field, participating in the games that we're following either on radio, TV, or in person in the stadium. I don't think Zobrist will retire. I think he's too much of a competitor, and I really don't think he would want to go out on this type of note. How his contract situation plays out, I haven't quite seen the reporting on what kind of insurance policy they have on his contract and whether this type of issue would have the insurance policy take effect, or how long Zobrist has to be out if the insurance policy takes effect. I just don't think, when you boil it all down, that Zobrist is going to call his career based on this. I think he's going to take some more time. It would not surprise me if come July or August, he starts to get the itch again, especially if the Cubs are in a tight situation in the division. If they are being competitive and Zobrist is seeing that, I think he thinks he can come back and be a boost to that team. It would not surprise me if the Cubs treat Ben Zobrist's return as a trade deadline acquisition or, as in years past, an August waiver wire pickup. I just don't believe Zobrist's career is done. I do believe that he will come back at some point this season.
What did you make of the acquisition of Carlos Gonzalez, who we saw yesterday for the first time in the major leagues with the Cubs?
A prayer and a hope. I think that's what that is. He didn't perform well with Cleveland. His statistics the last few years in Colorado were ballpark induced, playing at Coors Field. I think what they're hoping is to catch lightning in a bottle, similar to what they do with Cole Hamels. Take a person who is struggling, put them in a pennant race, and hope that kind of atmosphere rejuvenates their career. So it was a low-cost flyer, no risk, high reward, high upside for him. If he doesn't produce, they'll do what Cleveland did and DFA him. But, they're just trying to find some sort of boost anywhere they can. Off the bargain bin, because let's be honest, if Ian Happ was producing or doing the things the front office wanted him to do, Carlos Gonzalez would not be a Chicago Cub right now.
Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com. We look forward to touching base with you in a couple weeks. In the meantime, enjoy the games.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
And the Cubs taking on the Colorado Rockies tonight at Wrigley Field, coming off the makeup game against the Angels. One topic we did not get to with Ed Creech, the Philadelphia Phillies have lost the services of Andrew McCutchen for the remainder of the season. Was watching the MLB Network last night, and there were only 4 games last night, one of them involving the Phillies, and Andrew McCutchen came up lame at first base and went down, and you could immediately tell that it was not good. So the Phillies lose a veteran piece to their lineup. There's some speculation that they'll turn to one of their top prospects, Adam Halsey, coming up from the minor leagues. The Phillies right now, 33-27, a half game in front of the Atlanta Braves for first place in the National League East. Central, you've got the Brewers with a one-game lead on the Cubs, three games in front of the Cardinals, and just 5 and 6.5 in front of Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, respectively. The division has been the meat grinder that everybody kind of expected it to be. The Dodgers comfortably in first place in the National League West. And then in the American League, you've got the Yankees with a 2.5-game lead on Tampa Bay. Minnesota's running away with the Central, and Houston has a comfortable lead on Texas. Speaking of the Yankees, our guy wants to be in the Home Run Derby this year. Did you see
this?
Put
him in. Yeah, I did see
this. Luke Voit is lobbying to be included in the Home Run Derby. Lots of guys don't want to participate in the Home Run Derby. Our guy, Luke Voit, is he? Can we go so far as to name him official major leaguer of this show?
Yeah, I think that's
he's
fine.
Our official favorite.
I think he would object to that.
That's good because it's not a Cub and it's not a Cardinal. So we're neutral. It's not going to cause any bickering or any fighting between the two of us. Luke Voit, officially Switzerland in the ground over major league battles between Alex and myself, our official major leaguer, Luke Voit, lobbying to participate in the Home Run Derby at the All-Star Game this year. Who's got the All-Star Game this year?
It's in Cleveland.
It's in Cleveland. Now, that's right, because they blackmailed Cleveland to get rid of Wahoo. That was part of the, hey, if you really want the All-Star Game, you need to get rid of Chief Wahoo. And they did it. 319-366-1600 as it is 6:28. We need to take a quick timeout. And when we come back, I wanted to get to this Darren Rovell Jeopardy story from yesterday and didn't get a chance to, but Darren Rovell angered a lot of people on Twitter. And if you don't know who Darren Rovell is, consider yourself lucky. If you do, perhaps you'll enjoy our next story back after this.
It'd be nice to carry Lynn County REC around in your pocket, huh? You know, if you want to pay your bill.
It's right here in my pocket.
Want to check how much energy you're using any time of any day?
I'll just reach into my pocket.
Report an outage.
In my pocket.
Energy rebates are the latest from Lynn County REC. You guessed it.
Pocket.
It's that simple. All you need is the Lynn County REC Smart Hub app. Then you can pay your bill, check your daily energy use, report an outage, etc., right from the phone in your pocket.
In my pocket.
If you're app savvy, just pick it up in the Apple app or Google Play Store. And if you'd like step-by-step instructions, that's a snap too. Get them at lynncountyrec.com, or even easier, hit up YouTube and watch Lynn County REC's Smart Hub video. Once you've got it ready to go, everything you need from Lynn County REC is right there in your pocket.
Pocket.
See how easy that is? The Lynn County REC Smart Hub app. Another one of the handy benefits of membership with Lynn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Your first place Minnesota Twins are on display at Target Field.
Number 100 for this amazing first place Minnesota Twins team.
With a new hero every night.
That's going to get out of here.
Twin sluggers homered 11 times against Seattle in May.
And the 1-1, there is power, high and deep to left field. Back it goes, deep it goes, and gone.
They'll look to build on that when the Mariners visit Target Field June 11th, 12th, and 13th. Grab your tickets at twinsbaseball.com so you're ready to catch some souvenirs.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, we're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit us at 2802 Independence Road or at our Answers by Alexander showroom at 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Listen up, everybody. I'm happy to say that our office will be doing a winter coat drive.
Oh, I think I have something.
Actually, they just need men's coats in a size medium, preferably light blue.
What charity is this exactly?
The None of Your Business Foundation.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
After an off day, the Twins road trip continues tonight. Game one of a three-game series with the Indians. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Devin Smeltzer with the Twins, Shane Bieber for the Tribe, and on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:31, we welcome you back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on 1600 AM. Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Local programming resumes tomorrow with the gym class. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes will be on the air from 3 until 4, and then we will be fresh and ready to go off a Lunchbox Heroes trip to the Ped Mall in Iowa City. More details about that online at kgymradio.com. While you're there, you can also vote in our poll question today. How will you best remember outgoing Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney? Poll question is sponsored by Emil's Hideaway. Right now we bring Kyle into the studio, our third and final big board update of the day. All of them have been brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check out their temporary location at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City now, or the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street. Here's Kyle.
It's a monumental day for the Big Ten as the conference officially named Kevin Warren to be the sixth commissioner of the Big Ten Conference. He'll officially begin in mid-September and will work alongside Jim Delaney until he officially steps down next January. Warren will leave his post as COO of the Minnesota Vikings to become the first African-American commissioner of a Power 5 conference. When Delaney steps down, it'll conclude a 30-year tenure, the longest in the conference's history. There's long been a connection between the Iowa football staff and the New England Patriots, so it's not necessarily a surprise that a tweet from ESPN's Mike Reese revealed that Kirk Ferentz was in attendance at the Patriots practice today. Accompanied by a picture, I was also able to see that Seth Wallace, Kelton Copeland, and Jay Neiman are along for the ride, as well as at least two other Iowa staffers. No Hawkeyes were selected in the MLB draft last night or have been yet today, but Mizzou Tiger and Central DeWitt product TJ Sikkema was selected by the Yankees 38th overall. The Colonels are going to begin a stretch of 8 games in 7 days this evening in Clinton. They've got 3 with the Lumber Kings, followed by 5 with Peoria, including a doubleheader on Sunday, before returning to Cedar Rapids next Tuesday. Tonight after the show, we're going to join the Twins asserting their dominance over the Indians. The Twins enter tonight with an 11.5-game lead on Cleveland, and we'll bring you that game from Cleveland on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And the Division III World Series has officially wrapped up in Cedar Rapids. The Chapman Cougars out of Orange, California, handing Birmingham Southern a pair of defeats in back-to-back games this afternoon in the best-of-three World Series. So congratulations going out to Chapman. It looked like they were extremely happy to be bringing that hardware back back west with them to California. And congratulations to all the teams who participated in the D3 World Series and made it here to Cedar Rapids. As I mentioned, got some time Saturday out at the ballpark. UMass Boston was in attendance. Heidelberg wound up on SportsCenter for the play of the day. Their center fielder making that fantastic catch on Saturday. I think that game involved Babson College, the Beavers. Lots of great baseball played at Veterans Memorial Stadium over the last couple days. And again, Chuck Yerrigan and everybody at the America Rivers Conference and Scott Wilson and the folks with the Cedar Rapids Colonels really worked their rear ends off to make that event a success, a first-year success here in Cedar Rapids. I wanted to get to this story yesterday and didn't get a chance to, and I think it still has a little bit of shelf life, but do you know who James Holzhauer is?
I do.
He's the Jeopardy champion, no longer the reigning Jeopardy champion. He was upset yesterday, so his reign of terror on Jeopardy is now over. He finishes well shy of Ken Jennings. Everybody knows Ken Jennings, right? He's the guy who was a Jeopardy champion for like 75 days or something like that and won several million dollars. He wound up, James Holzhauer, with $2,464,216 after federal and state taxes. He's going to take home $1.29 million. The show first aired yesterday, I believe, in Little Rock, Arkansas, they air Jeopardy really early in the morning. It's like at 10 o'clock or something like that. And so the first show airs, and it's out there. He lost. And then it becomes news, right? It's public. This actually leaked over the weekend because there were some video clips that made their way, I believe it was onto YouTube, on Sunday of what appeared to be Final Jeopardy and him losing. And so the show airs in a couple television markets in the United States, Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas being one of them. And Darren Rovell, who used to work at ESPN, now works for a gambling website called The Action Network, caught up with James Holzhauer because Holzhauer is a professional gambler. It's how he makes his living. And Rovell did this story on his reign on Jeopardy coming to an end, and he put it out there on Twitter, and people legitimately got upset that Darren Rovell had spoiled Jeopardy, even though the show had aired in different parts of the country. You see,
but it
Jeopardy
hadn't aired on the East Coast yet?
Well, the thing about Jeopardy is it's a syndicated program, so it airs at different times all across the country. I think here locally it's on at, 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. But people got really upset because the news got out there that he had lost. And again, I don't know what to make heads or tails out of 2019, because to me, once something becomes public, then it's news. It's for public consumption. Boy, people were really mad at Darren Rovell. And Rovell rubs people the wrong way anyway online. You know this. They were really mad at him yesterday over reporting something that I thought was newsworthy.
I have to take... Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm about to say this. Excuse me. I'm going to take Darren...
You think
Darren
Nebraska basketball would win or be in the Final Four before Nebraska football?
This is worse.
Okay.
This statement I'm about to say is worse than that. I think I have to take Darren Rovell's side on this one. This is no different than...
You and me both.
When the Olympics are in Sochi and the coverage is 8 hours after the actual event and people are writing about the USA hockey team's loss in the medal round, and people are upset that those writers are covering an event live as it happened, as if it should have been put off 8 hours until after the conclusion of the game that was being played on tape delay. That's not how this works. We're in an instant information age. You either get used to it or you don't, but there's no room to complain about it. It is what it is. You can't put this cat back in the bag. It's already out.
You don't control the news. And when something becomes officially public, if something airs on TV in Little Rock, Arkansas, then it's news. And again, you got people. The thing that really brought me enjoyment from this is the fact that people cared so much about this story, about this guy winning on Jeopardy, that it literally ruined people's days to know that he wasn't going to win for like the 40th show in a row. Now, the leak over the weekend, and Sony Pictures, which distributes Jeopardy, is probably very, very upset about this, but the leak over this weekend, which led people to tune in yesterday because they felt that they were going to see him finally lose, the highest rated episode of Jeopardy in the last 14 years.
And Darren was sure to point that out to many of the Twitter followers who were cursing his name and threatening him yesterday.
I was around him one time a couple years ago. It was 2015. It was the year that Iowa had that miraculous season where they wound up in Indianapolis and then wound up in the Rose Bowl and won neither one of those games. So my apologies, Iowa fans, for tearing off that scab. Iowa played at Northwestern that season. And I think if I recall correctly, it was homecoming at Ryan Field. Rovell was there in the press box, and he could not have been a more perfect embodiment of himself in real life.
You're kidding me. So everything like, that he acts like he is, yes, is what he is.
Yes. And he was just...
Oh, no.
He was... I don't ever find myself rooting for Iowa or against the team that they're covering. I was rooting for Iowa that day to curb stomp Northwestern, and they did. And they did. And it was all solely because of Darren Rovell, who is exactly in real life like he is online on Twitter. But let that not take away from the fact that both Alex and I agree that what he did yesterday was not necessarily a spoiler. He was doing his job, and Jeopardy itself allowed him to come to reach out to Holzhauer after the episode aired in Little Rock, Arkansas. So there you go. Little Rock, Arkansas, the center of the television universe yesterday for 30 minutes.
I have to process what you just told me. So Darren Rovell isn't even, he means well, he just is a little bit off, a little bit different. That's what I expected people to say about Darren Rovell. But
different.
Apparently, yeah. He doesn't mean well. He is a jerk, and he's exactly the character that he plays on Twitter.
Oh, I know. Well, I don't know if jerk is the right word. Dork comes to mind. $2.4 million, and he winds up with $1.29 million. Yeah. I love the fact that there are people out there that would get upset at that. People are upset when they win the lottery, and the jackpot's $485 million, and then after you take the lump sum payment, which is always lower, and then after the taxes get taken care of, you're like, $485 million? Well, I only won $89 million. It's tough. Tough life, isn't it?
$89 million.
Are you going to give the $89 million back? No, you're not. 319. This is me again. Every once in a while, I let my true self shine on this program, and here I am once again dreaming about winning $485 million in the lottery. And yeah, I would not be upset if after taxes and lump sum, it was only $89 million. I would take $1.29 million tomorrow. Problem is, you'd have to go on Jeopardy, and you'd have to be really, really good for 40 days straight. They tape a ton of these episodes in one day. This guy was probably gone from his family for like 9 days tops, but it seemed like longer than that. Pretty impressive run, but not as impressive as Ken Jennings, who still holds the record for most money won and longest streak, winning streak. However, James Holzhauer retires with the 10 highest individual win totals, the 10 highest payouts for one day of Jeopardy in the show's history. Very, very impressive. And he wants to. He's very smart. He's an analytical, numbers-minded guy. He wants to work in Major League Baseball. So look for him in a Major League Baseball front office near you sometime in the near future. 644, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll let you get back to your Jeopardy viewing, and we won't spoil anything further for you. We have one segment remaining on the program. When we return, we'll let you know what's in store for a Wednesday midweek edition of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this. I said
we've got your game. We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer? All the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Finding a new job is a lot of work. What if you had your own personal recruiter to help you find a better job? Now ZipRecruiter's technology can do that for you. Just download the ZipRecruiter app, let it know what kind of jobs you're interested in, and it puts your profile in front of employers. If an employer likes your profile, ZipRecruiter lets you know. So if you're interested in the job, you can apply. My listeners should download the free number one rated ZipRecruiter job search app today and let the power of technology work for you.
Looking to build a deck? Think Trex is out of your price range? Well, now you should take a second look at the number one name in outdoor living. Because the latest deck from Trex is engineered for the DIYer and priced to put the pressure on treated lumber. Plus, it comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty. And that's something wood can't promise. Visit the Home Depot to see and feel the new decking color for yourself. Trex Enhanced Naturals in Coastal Bluff.
Wedding season is upon us, and the easiest way to look fresh for the big day is with theblacktux.com. The Black Tux has awesome suits and tuxedos that you rent online. With their free home try-on, you can see the fit and feel the quality of your suit months before your event. After ordering, it will arrive 14 days before your event. Stand out for the right reasons with the Black Tux. For $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com and enter code SPAIN. That's theblacktux.com, code SPAIN.
I can't believe it.
That Philip brought his little brother on our mission into orbit?
How long until we get there? How long until we get there? How long until we get there?
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
What's this button do? What's this button do? What's this button do? What's this button do?
No, don't touch that!
Believe it, Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Well, that commercial hits a little too close to home for any of us who have small children. My son is just now in the stage where he's in the back seat, not necessarily asking if we're there yet, but dictating that we are almost where we're going, which sometimes becomes troublesome when you're 5 minutes into an hour and 30-minute journey, as I was with him a couple weekends ago. Can't quite understand the concept of distance and time yet, but then again, he's not quite three. 366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. A pretty much full night of baseball on tap in Major League action. The Cubs hosting the Colorado Rockies at Wrigley Field and getting things underway in that series. The Twins visiting the Indians. As a matter of fact, that game is underway right now. We will join up with it in progress. The Twins with a 1-0 lead in Cleveland in the bottom of the second inning. Cardinals hosting Cincinnati tonight. That's a 7:15 first pitch in that contest. The White Sox with a 4-0 lead in Washington, D.C. over the Nationals. That game is early, just one inning in the book so far. And for our Kansas City Royals fans out there, you guys have the Boston Red Sox tonight at 7:15. I guess I should mention the Marlins and the Brewers as well. I don't want to overlook them. Miami up 2-0 after just three outs of play there in the middle of the first inning at Miller Park. 366-1600, though, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Mixed bag of results today in the boys' state soccer tournament. Iowa City Regina picking up its third consecutive title and winning 1-0 over Waterloo Columbus. Cedar Rapids Xavier, unfortunately, falling to Council Bluffs Lewis Central in the championship game, and Iowa City West was playing in the 3A game and trailing, so it looks like area teams go 1-for-3 today, barring some sort of late comeback that I missed with the Iowa City West game. So the Iowa Boys Soccer Tournament coming to a conclusion today, and one area champion. Congratulations going out to Iowa City, Regina.
We've had some interesting and sort of unfortunate injury news from a lot of the major sports and playoff series as well during the course of today. You mentioned Andrew McCutchen going on the shelf. That's a pretty big loss for the Philadelphia Phillies. He was having a pretty darn good year in Philadelphia. Not great, but a decent bounce back season for a team that was in first place.
And is, as anybody who's ever followed his career, they know he is a tremendous clubhouse leader. And it's going to be that leadership that Philadelphia is going to struggle to replace.
And then in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Zdeno Chara, reports are that he broke his jaw last night.
You are heartbroken over that, I'm sure.
I really don't want to see that. I don't like seeing things like that affect the course of a series, and I don't like really seeing people go through devastating injuries like that. The Blues had one of their own defensemen, Vince Dunn, miss 3 weeks with that same injury, and he made his first return to the ice last night after being out for 3 weeks. And then, of course, in the NBA, Kevin Durant still not going to play in game three of that series. He will be out. And it just sort of brings up the question, as I think it was Michael in Cedar Rapids earlier on the Hurtin and Stocker text line. I believe it was him. If it wasn't, I apologize. But it'll be interesting to see if Golden State does lose a game at home. If they lose game three, how quickly do we see Kevin Durant? I just wonder if they're being a little bit extra careful with him, knowing that they got one on the road, and they're going back to Oracle Arena, where they are very, very difficult to beat.
We'll have more on Kevin Durant and his lack of presence in the lineup for Game 3 coming up on a Wednesday edition of the program. Wednesday is going to take us to Iowa City and the Ped Mall. Now, before you get any ideas about us lounging around TCB or any of the other great locations there and just pouring back some drinks and hanging out on patios on a beautiful Wednesday day. No, we're down there working on the Ped Mall tomorrow. Not actually physically working, doing construction, but those are the people that we'll be hanging out with. It's Lunchbox Heroes. We took last week off due to the Memorial Day shortened work week. So Alex and I are on Lunchbox Heroes duty this week. If you're working on the Ped Mall construction project in Iowa City, it's going to be our pleasure to bring you lunch tomorrow, courtesy of our friends at Built by Pros and a number of other fine sponsors. We do this every summer here at KGYM. It's one of the highlights of our summers, getting out and about and saying thank you to everybody who makes the corridor such a great place to live and work. So look for us tomorrow on the Ped Mall in Iowa City. Also tomorrow, not one, but two great chances for you to win something just for listening to the show. We've got a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. Plus, inside the 6 o'clock showdown tomorrow night, 7 questions in 60 seconds. The winner is going to take home tickets to see the one and only Gabriel Iglesias, a.k.a. Fluffy, coming to the Iowa State Fair in August. Missed anything from today? Podcast is available at KGYM Radio. We will talk with you on Wednesday.